Hi, everybody. Graphene Lemming, SJ Boo.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, SJ Boo. Do I know you?
Yeah, we spoke a wee while ago. I live in New Zealand.
All right. Are you the woman that is a lab technician?
That's right. Yes. Yes, that's it.
Oh, welcome. Hello and welcome back.
Your message just came up. So, yeah, I just thought I'd say hello.
Oh, fantastic. And I'm glad you got the message. And we have Graphene Lemming got the message.
Cool.
Yes, cool. I did.
How are you guys going?
I'm doing okay. What kind of lab do you work in?
I don't anymore, but I before I had children, I worked in a lab that worked with stem cells, and we were molecular genetics.
Okay, so you were in the biological area.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, but I don't work there anymore. No.
What's the latest in New Zealand? Whereabouts in New Zealand are you again? Forgot.
Well, I'm in Wellington. I'm in Wellington still. I'm kind of in a bubble. I don't listen to I don't watch TV or anything. So, but as far as I know, Jacinda has dropped all the mandates, so you don't have to wear masks in shops now. But still, lots of people do. But no, it's good. A lot of people have stopped wearing the masks, thank goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's great.
Yeah. So your life feels a bit more normal now. Yeah, a bit more normal.
Well, our glorious leader, praise his name, the Commissar Biden, he has laid out a glorious message for all of his people that there is no longer a pandemic yet.
Right.
On our bus system, a traitorous manager who runs our bus system has still postings of that everyone should wear a mask. And but I don't understand that if our glorious leader says that the pandemic is over, how can this lowly worm of a man who runs the bus system go against the intelligence and leadership of the greatest president ever in America? It's astounding. It's astounding. I cannot believe it.
It is. But then, you see, we're just living in a clown world, and people like us, we just have to observe it and, don't comply. And, what can you do?
I don't wear a mask on the bus, but the students here are all like Red Guard Chinese Maoists, in the sense that they're all propagandized, and they are... will wear the mask until they die, I believe.
I know.
Which may be sooner than they think.
I went to go for a full body massage about a week ago, and I stood outside of the beautician's, and she wouldn't open the door. She had a mask on, and I think she's probably Chinese, and she wouldn't open the door. She kept pointing to my face, and I said to her, "Well, I'm exempt from wearing a mask. I don't wear a mask." And she kept pointing.
You're lucky she didn't weld the door shut.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she did eventually open the door, just a tiny crack, and said, "Oh, yeah, you must wear a mask." And I said, "Well, I don't wear a mask, so let's just leave it." So I just, I thought, no, I can't. I don't want to be massaged by someone who's full of fear, and I've got to wear a mask while I'm doing something that should relax me, not,
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I came across some very disturbing information about people who are vaccinated that got massages by person who is a misogynist that did massages. And
are you making a jokey?
I'm trying to. Hopefully it worked. I'm saying 50-50. But she said that people that are vaxxed, that get massages, unfortunately can dislodge clots into their bloodstream. There has been a series of people who got massages and they were vaxxed up. And unfortunately, they had medical emergencies that arose from that, which is disturbing and unexpected. I did not expect to find this kind of information.
They're getting this strange. I'm hearing from undertakers, whistleblower undertakers, who are saying that some of these people, when they die, they're finding these strange, sort of look like calamari,
it's almost like an octopus died in their artery system.
I know.
And was shredded. And then, it's very, over a year, maybe a year and a quarter ago, I had an older friend who was found in his apartment, his leg had burst. The blood clot was so large and strong, it burst his vein and was puffed up in his leg. And his son was a top doctor at Duke University, which is a major hospital in the Triangle area. And so he underwent an 8.5-hour operation, and they literally had to take out his entire vein and replace it with a plastic tube. And they took out, it went from his groin to his ankle. That's the size of a blood clot. It wasn't a blood clot, but the calamari.
No,
clot.
They're calling it blood clots, but they're not.
They're not.
Now recording.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ryan Phillips.
Kai Larkin.
Thrillium.
This is El Sushi, the Meatly.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Something I've just come across lately is, and I don't know if you guys have, you can change the settings on your phone, like this is for Bluetooth, and then you can start picking up what they call unnamed devices. And so if you're around a vaxxed person and you switch your Bluetooth on your phone, it scans, and then it's coming up with it's basically picking up the nanotech in people's, I guess it's this little bit of nanotech in people's arms.
I'm going to call BS on that one.
No, I don't know. I think I've been trying it. I know people say that might be BS, but like when I'm on my own, let's say I'm on my own, there's no one else around, I'm not vaxxed, I'll do this, I'll switch the Bluetooth on my phone and scan, and nothing comes up, just apart from like your normal type of device, like maybe someone's television, etc. Yeah. Then if someone comes to visit me at home, I put my Bluetooth on and do a quick scan, and then it comes up with these unnamed device. And so let's say it's one person comes into the house, then it just comes up with one code. So I don't know.
What about their phone? Don't you get a code from their phone?
If they've got, I get them to switch their Bluetooth off their phone so that
Okay.
Well,
there should be, if you're finding that code, it's not like, yes, it should be unnamed, and it's a different code than the normal codes.
Well, I would only be worried if it came up Pfizer or Moderna.
Well, anyway, just to let you guys know, I mean, I don't know.
It's not correct. It's brought to you by Pfizer or Moderna.
I'm calling BS on that.
I'm open to it. Yeah, I'm not calling it BS yet. Yeah, but you could. Yeah.
There are many Bluetooth devices now they may not be aware of. Are you aware of AirTags?
Oh yeah.
I am. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I really wasn't. Where
else could Bluetooth be? Like if it's. You've got your usual things like your television, et cetera, et cetera.
Bluetooth. I think a lot of car radios, a lot of headsets. Now, usually they don't broadcast unless they're in pairing mode. But
I've gone into, say, a park where I'm not I'm not around anybody. Yeah, it's just myself. And I do the scan. And, of course, because I'm not vaxxed, nothing comes up. But then when I encounter someone, I switch it on, do a scan, and these numbers come up.
Yeah, but everybody has a phone. So everyone, I would say almost everyone's carrying a phone. They might have these air tags. They might have a headset. There's headsets. Okay. There are quite a few things.
I definitely think it could be possibly be something, but yeah, definitely I'm trying to investigate it in the most scientific way I can think of.
SJ Boo, you are a scientist then, because you are testing the hypothesis, which
should be that's testing. What I'm doing.
And when you test a hypothesis,
you don't get definitive answers
every time you make a test, but you're out there testing it, and that's good. So, absolutely.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I'm going to be meeting up with a friend. I know she is vaxxed. So we're just going to go into a field where, there's no other people. We won't have any devices on us apart from our phones, and hers won't be, we'll switch off the Bluetooth and we'll just try it and see what happens. Yeah. Yeah.
I would take the battery out of the phone if you can.
No, you can't do that.
Oh, you can't take batteries out of phones these days, can you?
No, you're right. Nope. You're right. Well, make sure it's off.
I'll probably just make sure she doesn't bring her phone at all. It'll just be me with my phone and just her with no devices at all. we'll see what happens.
The thing is, key fobs for cars, they all have wireless. I don't think it's Bluetooth, but it's something that is transmitting.
Doesn't have her keys. You make sure she doesn't have her car keys.
Yeah, that's true.
There are so many things sending out signals now. It's crazy.
Okay, that's okay. So we'll have to make sure we eliminate all those things.
And make sure she strips down naked too.
Okay. I don't know if that's quite necessary.
You can have quite a fun time in the park.
We're not quite that way inclined. But if it was a bloke, yeah, why not?
Make sure there's no hidden spots where they could stick a Bluetooth.
Anyway, that's pretty much my news. I don't have a lot of news myself.
I'm glad. I'm glad you're testing. You're testing these things that more of us should be doing. You're doing.
Yeah.
I just got a phone. I used to have a smartphone, and then I got really stupid and I stopped carrying them around. And then I accidentally picked one up because a friend of mine was selling his. So I got it, and I'm checking my Bluetooth, and Okay.
I'm
in public. It says a whole mess of unknowns.
Okay.
So,
what kind of phone is it?
It is my phone. It's a Linux phone. It's a Nexus Linux phone. It doesn't have the regular operating system on it.
Okay, an app called Bluetooth Scanner. It works on Android. And I'm on the highway right now, and there's got to be 25 unknown devices around me right now. Now, there's at least there's at least 25 cars around me. I'm sorry. No, it says it's counting them on the bottom. 82. 82 wow. I'm up to.
I think I've got stuck in traffic. Yeah.
No, 103.
I think I've got over 100. I'm outside.
Yeah, 103.
Organic.
112. 118.
Yeah.
It keeps going up.
Yeah. I got a lot, too. I mean, it doesn't count them. I just keep scrolling, and it just keeps on going. So I've got over 100. I'm going to see
just
if I can. Okay, I do have an end. It does end eventually.
Oh, wait. I got iPhone to Maria. iPhone to Maria just popped up. It actually gave the name. Most of them are unknown devices, but iPhone to Maria. A lot of people don't name their phones. You know, you can change the settings to name your phone.
It doesn't come up with unnamed devices. It comes up with this set of numbers.
I know. It depends on the program. You get Bluetooth Scanner. So they brought it out because they were having a big problem with people putting an AirTag on a car.
Okay.
And then it was their AirTag, so they had the MAC address. And then they would check their phone to see where the AirTag checked in, because the AirTag is connected to Apple Wireless and Apple Bluetooth. It has different frequencies, so it connects to the Apple only network and Bluetooth network. So two different frequencies. And then you can tell where the car parked at night. So what happens is, this is how they steal cars now. I'm going to give you a tip.
Yeah.
What happens is, if you have a car.
Thanks, I need a new car.
If you want a new car, you got to go down to the dockside there, where they are in containers going to Nigeria and Ghana and Western Africa. That's where they end up.
All right.
Right.
And they sell for full price over there. They sell for full price over there, by the way. It's really a remark. I guess there's no distribution network in a lot of these countries, but they sell for full price over in Africa. So I don't know where they get their money. But anyhow.
So this is, you're talking about old cars? You're talking about the old brand new cars.
So this is how they steal them.
Right.
So what happens is, they'll go to a parking lot. A store parking lot, a mall parking lot, Walmart, Costco. They'll find a car they like. They will sit or stand by your car, and they will grab your key codes. So even if you're just walking around with your fob, it's transmitting the key code. So they'll grab the key code, and then they will flash a blank key fob and put your key code in their new fob. Then they'll put an AirTag on your car under the bumper or somewhere. So then at night, when you park your car, it'll pinpoint where you parked.
Yes.
And then at anywhere between, I would say, 2 and 5 in the morning, they'll just walk up to your car, jump in, and take it. There'd be no noise. They'll be in and out in as fast as you can get in your car. And then it's gone forever.
Yeah.
That's how cars are being stolen.
You're saying it's been sold on in Africa, Nigeria, Ghana.
Most of the time, they'll just drive it right into a C-can, a container.
Yeah.
And it'll be at the dock in a couple days, and then it'll be on a ship to West Africa and be gone for good. And they don't even take the plate off. They went over this this news service went over there, and they leave the plate on because they actually make it more desirable for sale.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The fact that it's
been,
okay.
It's kind of, it kind of personalizes the car. People, it's been driven. You know that people move it around, and
And I think I said this before. I think the car companies and the insurance are they're letting it happen because it's just they don't pay. They make money. We all pay through our
insurance.
We pay through our premiums. No, they just pass on the cost to you. So next year you'll just pay another $100.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I get you.
Everyone will pay another $100. Everyone.
Yeah.
And it's huge because we're talking $75,000 SUVs. These are not cheap. We're not talking about beaters. This is big bucks, and it's to me it's ridiculous that it's hard. It's impossible to believe that they can't figure out a way to make getting in your car convenient yet secure. So they're obviously doing it on purpose. But. Even in my neighborhood,
you could put a Faraday cage around that fob. That way, it wouldn't broadcast the signal all the time.
Yeah, but how are you going to get in your car?
Take it out of the Faraday cage.
Yeah, and the guy's waiting, and he'll grab the signal.
That's true. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, because it's just a matter of time. They'll pick your car up somehow, somewhere. Yeah,
but if your fob is in a Faraday cage and then you get within 1 foot of the car and then you hold it with a Faraday cage to the back of the fob and then next to the vehicle's metal, it's kind of like that'll attenuate the signal. And so the signal wouldn't travel as far.
Nobody's going to do that. I actually bought one of these Faraday bags, and I tested it. It didn't work. I walked up to my car and clicked open. So
really?
I don't know. Wow. Yeah, obviously it wasn't a good one. It was in the right. I had the thing sealed up. I just held it near the car and clicked open. So that was just one. So obviously it's complete waste of money. But
so you sent that one back. You sent that back, yeah?
Yeah, I know. I should have. I didn't test it right away. I tested a few months later.
It doesn't work. Dang.
And you were on your fourth car, right?
No. Yeah, the easiest way is just buy a car that nobody wants. That's what I've got.
I've just got my mum's old car, and it's just the old style. You know, I think it's about 2006 is the year, and it's just got the old style.
Oh, don't worry. They won't take that. You don't have to worry.
No. That's why I love having a car that no one wants. I never have to worry. It's great. Yeah. Simple.
Well, even if I had a new car, I wouldn't worry. The only problem is it's hard to get new cars now because there are just so many. I think it's still a problem. As long as China's playing the net zero game, there's going to be a problem. Yeah. I think they're still playing the net zero game over in China. I don't know why they like that game so much.
Oh well. Yeah. What can we do? We're living in clown world. Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Oh, well, look, I've got to get going, guys. Lovely to talk to you.
What time is it there?
It's 9:30 in the morning over here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, but New Zealand's sweet. We're going great out here. I mean, as long as you can just ignore all the BS. Yeah.
I wonder what's next in New Zealand.
Well, there's all these super volcanoes around this lake, and it seems to be these volcanic activity has increased. You heard about that?
Yeah, and also another thing, I don't know about that, but something I can tell you, I've been feeling quite a few little shakes here in Wellington. Yeah, earthquakes, about one a week.
That's part of it, yeah, yep.
Yeah, about one a week for about the last month.
I keep an eye on that because
and
the volcanism is increasing all over the world.
Yeah.
No, it's been building. It's been building every year. So, you're breaking up a little bit.
Those volcanoes. You're breaking up in New Zealand.
All those volcanoes and earthquakes.
Yeah. Bye. Catch you later.
Take care.
All right, bye.
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 Ab, I have to step out for 15 minutes.
Okay.
So, do you want to talk further? Or are you just going to...
I'm going to be around for another 40 minutes.
Okay. Well, I got to step out for 15, and then I can come back in if no one else is there or whatever.
Look at that. I just found a mouse, a Bluetooth mouse just connected to my phone.
Ah. Yeah, I looked up apparently having the Ubuntu operating system on a smartphone. There's not a lot of things that I can, apps that I could connect. I tried to find some Bluetooth apps that would allow me to have more information about the Bluetooth signals I'm receiving. But I couldn't find anything my first search. So perhaps they're not available yet. Because
that's a disadvantage of getting a non-Apple, non-Google phone. That people just don't write as many apps for them. There's no low demand.
It's new, so Oh, someone else showed up. So I'm going to step out for a while.
All right. Come back anytime.
Okay. Talk to you later.
An ounce of salt. Hello.
Ni hao. I was just popping in to listen, but I've driven Graphene Lemming away.
And SJ Boo, you missed her. After the break, Frank and...
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Gord from Manitoba, and you're listening to Fakeologist Chat at fakeologist.com.
Nice. Thank you, Gord.
So what's happening in the real world, Ed?
I don't live in the real world. Do you?
No.
No, it's good. Everything is fine. It's a beautiful day. Not a chemtrail in the sky.
Yes, it's beautiful here as well. It's grand final day here.
Okay.
And my hometown in the grand final. So it's a big thing here.
Is that grand final what? Final what is it? Uh-oh, you broke up. Try again.
The Australian Football League. Yeah.
All right. Football. I gotcha. Am I breaking up or are you breaking up? Or are we both breaking up?
I think it's you breaking up.
Okay, you're back. I can hear you now.
They say that breaking up is hard to do, but in your case, if you're traveling in a truck, I guess it's easy.
Well, I was trying to connect. I noticed I was trying to get on, connect to the internet on my phone, browse a bit near a driver's license office that always has a lineup of about 100 people.
Yeah.
And I realize now that every single one of them is on their phone, looking down with their neck crooked. And I can't get a pathway to any website in that area. So I figure they're using all the bandwidth, whatever they're doing. So
watching the latest episode of Lord of the Rings or something.
Anything. There's no bandwidth. And I thought, I was puzzled for a second. Then I looked up and I thought, well, of course, there's always a lineup at this office. And I'm within, we're all in the same cell tower, probably. And even though we have different carriers, everyone there is probably using all the bandwidth up. So I can't get through to any website. I said, I'm not using my phone over here anymore. It is a finite thing, bandwidth, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just drove away and got far enough away and then it started working again. So people just, you have to use some common sense when you're out in the world.
In the world. Well, then it's a very dull discussion for us because obviously everything's going well for both of us.
Well, I was trying to, I was thinking of going somewhere farther away than my own city. And I realized that we don't have any documents that are up to date anymore, so we can't go over any borders because I figured this would last a lot longer than it did, and I also figured that they'd have some replacement documentation system by now. But that's not come to pass, so now I have to wait possibly months to get documentation. So that means I probably won't be going anywhere for a few months, and they'll be in the dead of winter and probably won't want to go anywhere. So anyway, that's what I'm up to, trying to jump through all the hoops to get those papers done. But I think our crime sinister is removing the app on your phone that you have to fill out when you come back to Canada, and the interview at the border with the quarantine idiots.
Right.
That's at the end of the month. I think we're one of six or seven countries in the whole wide world that's still playing the game at the border. I can't remember who's. I think the United States is on that list where you're supposed to get injected before you go into the United States. But I've heard they've never enforced it.
Okay.
So that's another illusion. It's another illusion that's very powerful.
Yes, a lot of it seems to have been said on the television, the television as you call it, rather than reality.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't know what's next. I had a nice chat with Les Luthor, who is really into illusion warfare. Mm-hmm. He's a new voice. I'm going to try and get him back.
Mm-hmm.
Because we ran out of time this morning.
I look forward to listening to that.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
The big thing that happened to me during all this was that our business grew hugely.
And what do you attribute that to? Do you think it would have grown anyway?
The difficulties that were experienced by people that accepted the narrative as being true.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't accept the narrative as being true, we just kept going to about our business as if nothing was happening.
Okay.
And we weren't stopped, you know, we didn't stop production of our business for a single day, for a single minute, really.
Okay. And so, are you dealing mainly with imports, though, that didn't get in the country?
No.
Okay. Locally.
That's one of the biggest explanations, but the other suppliers, they were losing time to people being away from their work, from their duties as a result of tests and so on.
All right. Yeah, a lot of productivity losses from your competitors in the area. That's great.
Yeah, so there are clear advantages to having this point of view.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fantastic, Frank.
Yeah, it's just incredible the way it's worked out. And I do mean incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like our business has tripled in sales.
Oh, that's since great. It started.
Mm.
Well, that's a very positive thing.
Oh,
and yeah, now you know, I don't hear
anything. I blame everything on praying, though. That's I must say, and obviously, you know, the discussions I had here.
I don't hear anything out of Australia. I can't even name your prime minister anymore since you changed over.
Yeah,
I can't. His name is it doesn't stick in my head, and I know I've heard it many times, but I can't. It doesn't stick. I need a mnemonic to remember it.
Well, he's called Greasy Elbow here.
Greasy Elbow? Okay.
Yeah.
And that's in reference to what?
Tony Albanese.
Right? Okay. Anthony Albanese. Yeah. That sounds Maltese.
Yeah.
Is he a knight of Malta?
Who would know? He certainly is, you know, he's talking about the Republic, but of course he has been the most obsequious of the participants at the royal funerals and so on. You know, he's
Did he
really
go over to London to...
He's gone over to London and he's doffed the cap.
We kiss the ring. We go see the Pope too.
Yes, I think they all are doing that as well.
Yeah, well, that's good. Say they have to say hi to their masters.
Yeah. Very intriguing, isn't it, to watch it happen though? And no one bat an eye.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, there's a lot of tributes going on right now to the power structure.
Yeah.
I just read a thread on the Twitter. I'm wasting a lot of time on Twitter. And a woman lined up for it. I think she lined up for 36 hours to go see the Queen. Well, you can't see the Queen. You see a box on the floor. And,
it's interesting because the Queen's body is laying in state, right? Now, normally that means the coffin is open. And that's not happening this time.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, they have no idea what's in it.
We've got no idea what's in it.
And the woman took, she had her phone counting her steps. She took 25,000 steps to get to the coffin.
Yeah.
And she documented, it was actually an amusing thread. She did it for her mother, who apparently had some association with the Queen.
Okay.
But it's just quite bizarre what lengths people will go to worship false idols.
Yeah. And that seems to be the entire pattern of our modern government, is the things that they will do to deceive people into breaking the commandments, doesn't it? It just seems to be entirely about breaking the commandments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was the distraction of the month. I think it's over now.
Oh, do you?
Now we're going to have, well, with the Queen, I think we're done with her. Now we get to witness Charles. I think he's going to be a fun one. To make fun of.
Well, I just think we will see a parallel that Canada, New Zealand, and Australia all go through the same news cycle. There'll be stories about Prince Charles behaving in a very eccentric way and how we need to have a republic. And that will really see our constitutions trashed.
Yeah.
That's my forecast of how it's all going to play out from here.
Well, yeah, we're going to communitarianism, I think. That I hope more people talk about it and try and figure it out what it is and expose it. And
yeah, you're talking about it. Bringing that up a couple days ago with Gaia. That was interesting. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's a pretty dry topic. Pretty dry stuff.
Well, it does get my
hackles up though. So, but anyway,
it's very much so in our country there are several groups now that are you know, are basically working out the legal system and combating the excesses that have occurred since the mid-1970s here. So it's interesting how successful they have been in, without naming communitarianism, but essentially, you know, challenging the authority of various people that are issuing fines and so on, fines and notices.
Yeah, it's fines and regulations. That's how the law works.
Yeah.
Or that's how the system works. It's not the law.
It's how the system works. It's not how the law works. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. They're layering it on top of the legal system, which is based on private property, which is completely the antithesis of communitarianism, where everything is community property. They don't see that as they don't work together. And that's the problem. And it's pretty interesting. And as I talked to Lark in Texas about it, communitarianism has 8 syllables. There aren't too many words that we use today in daily use that have 8 syllables. I thought that was fascinating that we broke the conversation down to that extent. I call it C8.
I guess it's kind of interesting to me that in my blog I have written, not extensively on it, but I didn't really call it communitarianism, but what I've really been saying for some time is where participating in a group causes the individual damage, those people need to get out of that group. You know, if the collective is hurting you, you need to get out of that collective.
Well, that's why the lemming is a apt
very much
concept
so, yeah.
To social, because people travel in social herds or crowds or mobs would be a negative connotation, but
yeah,
they all reflect each other, and crowds of people are not thinking. People, they're following the social herd, and so what you have is you have people that are very sociable, want to mimic others in the crowd that they're in, and they're afraid to show any independence or any rational discussion about where their crowd or mob is going. And so that's, you can see this, the whole COVID scare and how people were corralled into behaviors. First they were, you know, oh, just 2 weeks will flatten the curve. And then after that, oh, well, if you just put on masks, that'll stop the disease. And then just it progressively gets worse and worse. The crowd that has been formed is unable to rationally go against this social mob that they belong in.
Yeah, and so, that's the mass formation theory, I think, you've espoused in another way.
Yeah. Yeah, mob psychology and group psychology and crowd psychology came before Desmond's ideas. But Desmond's idea, there's something weird about how he, the way he explains his ideas, and he kind of blames it on the people that it's happening to rather than the people that are casting the spell.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that a little disturbing in his explanation of that. But he gets the gist of it right. So the thing is, independent people or people who are very non-social, or they don't feel like they need to join groups in order to have social validity, were much less affected by the propaganda campaign to get everyone in the world jabbed. And the Biden voters, of course, are the most jabbed voters. But like 80-some percent in America that voted for Biden are jabbed, probably 80, almost.
It's slightly strange because it was, you know, the credit for the vaccine was taken by Trump.
Yes, and when I confronted last year, I saw a person riding up on a bicycle. I hadn't seen him in quite a while since the plandemic happened, and we just started chatting, and, you know, so he's asked me if I was Jabberwockied. I said no, and he goes, oh, well, you must be a Trump voter. I go, no, I didn't vote for Trump, but I didn't vote for the other clown, Biden, either.
Yeah.
And he got a puzzled look on his face, and then he goes, well, you know, there's not been nothing like this ever. And I go, well, yeah, the propaganda was relentless, you know, and you know, he gave me another look, and he said, well, you must have voted for Trump, because, and I go, listen, Trump was the one that made the vaccines. It was under his, and there were videos of Biden and the vice president and other high level Democrats before the election saying they wouldn't get the jab because Trump made it. But then right after the election, all of a sudden they just turned up the heat. Everybody had to get it. You'll lose your job, blah, blah, blah. So
that's right. After the break, Graphene Lemming, an ounce of salt.
They guided me with psyops.
Psychological operations.
They guided me with psyops. They weaponized psychology. Yeah. Hey.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
You know, Trump was knocked out. Well, it was like a switch. There's actually good supercuts that people have put together about, I'll never take the vax. Trump, I would never trust the vax that Trump developed, as if he had anything to do with it. But people are so simply, make such simple connections in the world. And then the minute he's out, the vax came out, and wow. Everyone just flipped as if they couldn't remember anything from a few months before.
Well, that's crowd psychology. So you have, all of a sudden, the crowd, the Biden crowd, whatever you want to call them, all of a sudden, the leadership of that crowd switched their messaging. And instead of being, oh, this is Trump's vaccine, now it's, if you don't take it, you know, you're going to make grandma die, you know, and it's the social thing to do. You're protecting people, and they had,
by the way, that's all communitarian talk. That talk,
yes, it is.
Yes, it is. That's how you label it. Then you understand why they use those methods. It's communitarianism. The individual subverted for the community.
What you're saying is that before the election, or during the election campaign, Biden was saying he wouldn't take the jab.
Yep.
Same with
not
Kamala.
Only would he not take it, he was violently against it. Because
same with Cuomo. You remember Cuomo, New York governor? Yep. Same thing. They all said it.
Yep.
And then he was out, and magically the vaccine belonged to somebody else, the Biden. Yeah, it overnight. It's like they reformulated it, the new Pepsi, the new Coke. They just
that's ready. Called psychology in the sense.
And it didn't cause any discord amongst the voters. They all just said, "Oh yeah, that's how it is."
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, nobody discussed it. I never heard anyone discuss the flip.
No, it was totally suppressed. You did not find any media going, hold it. Just a month or a half ago, Biden was saying he was against the Trump vaccine. Now, you know, he's for it 100%. Like, no. The mainstream media just buried that. It was like it was a non-issue. And the thing is, crowd psychology, it's irrational. They think in terms of emotions and pictorial images. They don't think in rational terms. So when the herd turned on a dime, they just did it, you know.
And your friend that you met had no recollection of that. That's the way it was.
Well, I saw a look on his face when I told him that he took the Trump vaccine, where it might have caused some extreme cognitive dissonance in that you might
Frank,
have
maybe you can play
remember.
That.
I don't have it on. Frank, I don't have it online.
What do you Frank want me to play it? What am I looking
well,
for?
Well, maybe you could just type in supercut, not taking Trump vaccine, something like that. Do you know how to use the new... command, it's always a
no, but you
slash.
Can talk this
through. Yeah, it's easy. Hey, Forest Values here. Hello.
Oh, this supercut shows. Okay, I've found something.
Yeah, you'll probably find quite a few people that did that supercut.
There's no doubt about it. This is that really happened, and it shows
how
strong. Yeah, it shows how strong crowd psychology is. It can override the rational ability of the people in the crowd.
I just look at it as flipping the script overnight. They flip so many scripts, and that's part of psychological warfare. It's just so much uncertainty. That causes such cognitive dissonance.
It's kind of like gaslighting, too. You know, gaslighting where you go 180 degrees from the position you were before and say, well, don't you remember Biden said he was for the vaccine, you know? You just gaslight him, you know?
Well it's the uncertainty of competing and contradictory narratives. No, most people can't take that. There's Linda. Linda's here.
People want to belong.
First Value's here.
So what was the thing you told me to check again? I've just had to go into YouTube to do it because all I get from the other thing is an article.
Okay.
So what was the thing you said? What was So what was the what was the search thing you said? Supercut.
If you found the link to what you want to play, copy the link.
I haven't found the link to what I want to play. What I found was a whole list of references to an article.
Okay. Well, then search in YouTube for Supercut not taking Trump's vaccine.
Yeah.
That should work. I don't know what the name of it is. That's what I would search.
Okay.
You found something?
I have.
And there's people that put that to music too, I'm sure. So you know how to use the new bot, forward slash. And when you hit forward slash, you should see a whole list of commands pop up. And just touch the one that says forward slash play under Fred Boat. And you just touch it. And then paste in your URL.
Okay. Let's see what we've got.
Hey, you can't understand anything that happened without understanding crowd psychology. It does, you know, crowd psychology is not a rational psychology. It's irrational. And that's why mobs in the inner city will burn down their own neighborhood to express, you know.
If the Trump administration approves a vaccine before or after the election, should Americans take it, and would you take it?
If the public health professionals, if Dr. Fauci, if the doctors tell us that we should take it, I'll be the first in line to take it. Absolutely. But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
Hey, NBC News viewers, thanks for checking out our YouTube channel. Subscribe by clicking on that button down here and click on any of the videos over here to watch the latest interviews, show highlights, and digital exclusives. Thanks for watching.
Well, that was a short version.
Yeah. I've got to find the super. But yeah, I mean, obviously, there is a lot of them that turn up in the playlist.
Yeah.
Ab, I've got a link. I'm going to send it to you. It has all of the politicians, everybody doing it.
Yeah,
if you send it to Frank.
If you put it in bot commands or live stream notes, I can play it now.
Yeah. Yeah, perfect.
Where is live stream notes? Where is that?
There it is. There's On Air Studios, Chat Notify, live stream notes.
I just sent it.
You guys are technical wizards. I like that everyone knows how to do this, so I don't have to do it.
Caffeine Lemon. Good job, guys. It's a good video. It shows all of them, Fauci, Biden, all of them stating the exact opposite of what. Did you get it, Frank?
Yes, I've got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Frank is a wizard at playing now, I can tell.
Oh, shucks, Ab, you know?
I know. Why don't I hear it? Well, some videos it doesn't like, but don't ask me why.
Okay, it's on BitChute. I don't know if there's a problem with BitChute or not.
Can't do BitChute. They won't
It can't do BitChute.
Oh.
Is that what he's saying?
No. Okay. No. It has to be YouTube or SoundCloud or a direct link to FakoTube. Works for FakoTube.
Right. You'll have to load that up, Ed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worth it, yeah.
Because that is, you know, a very important bit of history.
Yeah. So when I told that his friend that he took the Trump vaccine, the warp speed vaccine, the look on his face was like there was confusion, and then it's kind of like a realization, like, well, oh, maybe I did, and then like kind of a WTF moment. And then he had to go. He had to go because he couldn't talk. He couldn't talk anymore.
His head exploded.
He did. It did. And I haven't talked to him since then. He won't come up and talk to me. Like when I see him come around town, he won't.
Well, he's probably trying to get the Trump vaccine out and get the Biden vaccine in. Probably he's worried he took the wrong one.
I think he did. He made a mistake. That's the one thing about...
He did not.
When you follow the crowd and you do what they say and then you make a mistake, a lot of people can't be honest with themselves and say, hey, you know, I made a mistake.
But in fairness, his mistake is he took the wrong vaccine, the wrong jab. Not that he made a mistake taking it in the first place.
Yeah, but they can't like go into correction mode. Which I find it's another part of the group psychology. He still wants to be in this crowd of people, yet he knows that they lied to him or he was suckered into doing some behaviors. Yet he can't say truthfully to himself that's what happened. So it's almost like lying to yourself and believing it. I must believe it.
It's very biblical, isn't it? The pride comes before a fall.
I guess so, yeah. Yep. Hey, if I play the video over my computer, would the microphone pick it up and broadcast it to you guys?
Well, depends how you do it. It'll be okay, but you can do it. It won't be as good, but it might be better than nothing.
All right. Hold it. Did I blow it?
If you have banana or something, you can do it, I believe.
That is correct.
Well, here we go. Let's see.
After getting her COVID vaccine, case of fake blood clot caused by the AstraZeneca COVID.
That's kind of working, by the way.
Died after taking the AstraZeneca vaccine, developed blood clots after getting her COVID vaccine, case of fatal blood clotting caused by the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine.
Jesse, why is everyone sick?
Yeah, we've been asking the same thing, Sam. And well, COVID numbers are officially down, right? And yet every day it seems like our workmates are off with some kind of bug.
So man is in intensive care tonight, suffering a blood clot after receiving his AstraZeneca vaccine.
The six new cases of blood clots have been officially linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine.
More cases of blood clots have been linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine. Gravely ill in intensive care after suffering a blood clot linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Since I had my AstraZeneca vaccine, that kidney brain tissue.
The administration is calling for calm following the deaths of people in our state who received the COVID vaccine.
Have the teachers been giving you this information in the school?
No, they just
died after receiving a COVID vaccine.
A major medical investigation is underway. Concerns around the safety of the AstraZeneca vaccine have been realised here.
It's a lot of AstraZeneca graphene. Hey, graphene, you can cut it. It's not good. We can cut it if you don't mind.
Yeah.
That's all about AstraZeneca. I remember that one.
Yeah, I forgot they had all this other stuff in there, too. But anyway, if you go back to the videotapes, it's clear as a bell that this is what happened. There can be no, dissuading one that, oh, no, this really didn't happen. No, the whole Democratic leadership cadre said that the Trump vaccine was evil and they wouldn't take it. And then as soon as he's elected, they promoted the Trump vaccine and they pressured everyone to take it. Everyone. Even children. So there's no doubt about that. It just now you just have to say, well, what were the reasons behind that?
They're still pumping it for children here in Toronto. I couldn't believe it. They just pulled a bunch of very propagandistic ads that somebody spent a ton of money doing. You could tell they're high quality production. Yeah. And really, they pulled them because they're disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, they pulled them. Wow.
Yeah. The city pulled them. I guess they only need about 10 people screaming and they pull anything. But what a waste of money. I think that the uptake for 6 month to 5 year olds is extremely low. I think the gig is up. I think it's over. The whole vaccine, I hope the whole vaccine narrative goes away forever for every vaccine. That's my great hope.
Yeah. Well, just as an aside, my mother died of a weird disease that the doctors and the medical researchers don't know very much about. And it's called scleroderma, and it's the cross-linking of collagen. Across organs and whatnot. And if you have the bad kind, like my mother had, this cross-linking of collagen happened in her liver, her heart, her lungs.
Wow.
So she had the deadly kind. But the doctors don't know anything about it. Like, there's no genetic cause. They're just... And my grandmother, who birthed my mother, she had this also, and she died from it. And in the Pfizer report, or they were forced to release it, and there were 1,200 different diseases that the vaccines could cause. One of the diseases that the vaccine could cause was scleroderma. And I'm thinking, hold it. This is proof that vaccines cause scleroderma, and that my mother and my grandmother got vaccines from the old days, and for whatever reason, those vaccines caused scleroderma in my mother and my grandmother, leading to their death, premature death. Very strange.
Yeah, well, your mother and your grandmother were vaccinated, were jabbed.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, they were.
Well, I was investigating type 1 diabetes because that's what my daughter has. And apparently there was some study where somebody invented a computer program to project how many people die because they don't have access to insulin and glucose monitoring and pumping of insulin systems. So the guy put a whole study out on each country of the world, said, well, in South Africa, there's 40,000 people that have type 1 diabetes, and because they don't have access to all this technology, their lives were shortened by this many years, that's this many. They just use their computers just to project out what happens because of dying early. Because type 1 is so awful that if you don't manage it every hour of every day of your life, you will die young. And even if you do take care of it perfectly, you're still going to die young, but not as young, which is the disgusting part of the whole disease. But my point is, I thought I know what they're doing. They're doing this. The drug companies are doing this, and they're probably funding this guy to make a case that all governments should pay for all of the diabetes equipment to keep these people alive. And it's really hard to argue against it, of course, because if they're paying to poison people to save their lives, then why wouldn't the government pay for all the equipment to keep a type 1 diabetic alive?
Hi, this is Heroes.
Purple Plate.
Fluidic Blue Now.
Emerald Equator.
The Asarian.
Psioptica.
Persian.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
And we're talking about the proper insulin, because there's different grades of insulin, and the pumps and the monitoring. We're talking $20,000 to $30,000 a year per person forever. You guys are businessmen. You can see the model. If you can get the government to pay for all that, wow. Just wow. When it comes to profits.
What is the technical name for your... I'll try to look it up in the Pfizer document with 1,200 diseases. What's the technical name for what your daughter has?
It's just type 1 diabetes. That's what the technical name is.
Okay, so I look under T. Okay, type 1 diabetes.
Now, I found somebody on Twitter who has type 1 diabetes.
Probably under D for diabetes.
Yeah, T1. Might be T1. Now, I found someone on Twitter who identified as a diabetic, and she was having some kind of discussion with someone about insulin. And I said to her, do you know what causes type 1 diabetes? Because she's had it for a long time, an older woman. And she said, it's probably genetics, but then she said, in my family, there's no one that has it. So I said, okay, so you still think it's but you're told genetics, but you don't know anyone in your whole family that. And then I said, I think it's just direct injection. She said, well, it could be the pesticides and the food. She was sort of going on that pathway, which is possible. But I said, what about direct injection of poison into your system? Have you ever thought of that? She said, now that I think about it, I've never thought about it, but now that I think about it, before I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, I was injected with the Twinrix flu vaccine. And she said, now that you mention it, that is kind of interesting. So, nobody thinks about it. That's why there's no connections, because nobody's thinking that way. And all I did is just a little bit of prompting. Yeah. And all of a sudden, lights and bells go off in her head. Oh, that's not proof. It's not proof. No. But I said, don't worry. They're never going to find a cure for diabetes as long as they're never looking at all the possibilities.
Well, what you're doing, if you're injecting, and we already know that they've been injecting graphene oxide and other metal oxides into the body way before this pandemic.
How do we know that? Yeah. I'm not arguing with you, but I'm just, do you have any evidence to that?
You know, right now, people have already gotten a hold of the flu vaccines. They've gotten a hold of the...
Allegedly. I'm skeptical of that, too. But I'm okay with the possibility they're getting them.
We're all skeptical,
I'm okay with
the
possibility, but I'm...
They also got a hold of things like Novocaine. Okay, the Novocaine had graphene oxide in it. So they're just putting this in everything. And that's why the American Medical Association has come out and said, oh yeah, you can get your flu shot, get the COVID shot, and get these other shots all together. They have a 6-in-1 shot now. And you go, hold it.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, it's perfectly safe. Well, hold it. There's been no studies showing it's perfectly safe.
I think you're missing what perfectly safe means.
Up.
Perfectly safe means it's perfectly safe for them because they've been protected from liability.
For them,
it's perfectly safe.
But it's not perfectly safe if under the Emergency Act that they committed fraud. They said this is what's in here, the ingredients, and they put in ingredients that under the FDA are poisons. Because
I'd be surprised if their legal position was compromised.
Well. That's why you notice that when the shots were given out here in America, that the fact sheet that came with the vaccines was a pure white piece of paper. There was no, in the initial declaration to the FDA, they said what was in the vaccines. If they lied about that, then anything, if you commit fraud, then any contract that's based on the fraud is null and void.
Yes.
So this contract that they have no legal liability is null and void because these ingredients were not disclosed. And that they have been labeled as severe poisons by the FDA is another, strike against that. So if we have a functioning court system, which I doubt that we do, but if it starts functioning, then protection that Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson, all these companies have, will be null and void because they committed fraud and in getting this safety certificate. So they'll be on the hook for everything.
I personally think that it'll be the employers that are going to carry the can, and that will essentially see the end of you know, a lot of business in the USA.
That's a good point. But you have to have a functioning judicial system. Otherwise, this won't work.
Well, if the aim is to get rid of business in the USA, I'm sure they'll get the law system functioning to do that.
Yeah. Of course, if you come under martial law, and all civil structures like the judiciary and everything else will be
suspended,
right? So, we may be already under martial law when Trump said that we are under a continuity of government, COG. Mm. And if you read through the continuity of government documents, it's almost like they are running the government. And the FEMA, the people in FEMA are running it. The people like Trump, Biden, and whatnot. So that may be why we're seeing such dysfunctional Biden pronouncements and activities. It could be that this is the FEMA people doing it.
Mm.
Yeah, look up continuity of government, and then the continuity of government, at least in the United States, it nullifies regular government under emergency declaration. And Trump did do that. Now, was this real? Or, you know, the thing is, when you're in a play, like, which part of the play is real? You know, which part is, like, you know, I don't know.
There you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where are you from, Graphene Lemming?
I'm living in North Carolina right now. How about yourself?
I'm in a place called Geelong in Victoria.
Oh, okay. You're
which is in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You guys have had a rough hoe.
Well, I personally have not, but I live outside.
Wasn't Victoria one of the most
the worst? But it was the capital of the state, and I don't live in that capital.
Okay, so you're outside of that evil castle monarchy city state situation,
and it's been for the people that believe all that to be true. It's been very tough on them, but because I'm not, was never a believer, any of the regulations and so on, I just ignored with no consequence.
Okay. Oh, good. Yeah. Well, here in North Carolina, now I'm in a college town, so the instead of being independent, the college students have become cattle to be, moved around in the way that the controllers like.
Mm.
They're still wearing masks on buses, and they're still, it's not, the North Carolina isn't enforcing those things, but people are used to their own enslavement. And they, and you have people saying, "Oh, I really like my mask."
Yeah,
I mean, and they're not kidding.
And they're not kidding.
Yeah, and it's now on the bus. I used to have bus drivers stop the bus, come back, and start yelling at me because I wasn't wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And it really pissed me off. And, but now the bus drivers don't do that. You cannot wear a mask and they don't do anything. So at least I don't have to. Because every time I got on the bus, I could feel my blood pressure rising. Like, okay, some bus driver that wants to be a doctor is going to tell me what medical procedures I need to have on the bus. But anyway, small steps. So what I'm thinking about and what people should be thinking about, in my humble opinion, is once we overthrow these assholes, what kind of system do we want to put in its place? A restoration is the kind of, we don't want a revolution. We want a restoration of the, you know, idealized state, the way normal people think of it, in terms of, you know, fairness and, you know, personal rights and responsibilities, independence, and not being a slave to the state. And I don't think it's that difficult once we overthrow the banking elite and the money magic elite and the people, the Masonic people who are our governors and leadership cadre of the elite. You know, we have to have something that we will formulating. So we know what we're against, but we have to know what we're for. See where I'm going with this?
Sure. I think the difficulty always is going to be this thing we've been talking about. I mean, if you treat people, consider treating people fairly as treating everybody the same. That's not right. Really how it is.
We have to send them to Constitution camp. Well, we have Constitution. You guys don't have that.
Well, we do. We do have a Constitution. Yeah, of course we do.
Oh, you do. Okay. All right.
Well, in fact, everything comes out of the various laws and so on have been established by custom for a long, long time in the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. There is the Charter of Rights from 1688. There is numerous things going backwards and forwards, but also the legal situation is also you're protected by biblically, if you understand that you're not a Gentile, that you are, you know, a member of the kingdom of God. If you understand that your legal position is that Christ has stood in for your sins and you are never at sin. But that's little known amongst the population here.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's been a pollution of the body politic that's been ongoing for many years. In order to absorb values that will promote societal health and function, some of these ideas that we've been infected by have to be, you know, expelled from the body, so to speak, or, captured by a white blood cell and then, you know, neutralized.
Well, I think, in my opinion, the most difficult infection that what I call the Anglosphere, the countries that are originally English-speaking people, have is that they are essentially military societies. That they are, they disobey the first command. I mean, one of the commandments that thou shalt not kill. And they, you know, people are willing to pick up guns and go and fight in other countries. So that's a in my opinion, a major defect of the governments, of the behavior of the English speaking people.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. But usually it's under the behest of a certain elite.
Yes, but nonetheless, those elite, it is the people
so
themselves.
So once those elite are no longer with us, then those kinds of predilections and propagandistic ideas won't course through society like they are now.
But they can come back at any time. unless the individuals involved, such as you and I, have in perpetuity the idea that we will not kill, then I think we're always going to be, there'll be some circumstance where that commandment will be broken.
Now, before the World Trade Center attack 2001, I can tell you that very few Americans could point to a map of Iraq, tell you what the capital was, and how bad the Iraqis were, or Afghanistan, or Syria, or other places.
And I think you could argue very easily.
Like Libya. So the elite directed these attacks to those places.
But the point I would make...
It wasn't the people.
Yeah, but the point I would make here is that even after that happened, it was very clear, and in fact it was made clear to everybody, that the actions of the governments in going to war were not legal. They had no legal basis. But people still went and did something illegal. And in the end, in my opinion, it's the individual choices that make up the outcomes. People picked up their guns and did something illegal because their government told them to do it.
They didn't pick up their guns. They picked up the guns of the institutions that were run by the elite, who paid those people to go to those places. They didn't pick up their own guns.
Well, they picked up
their
guns.
I just want to make this clear. Yeah. Well, you got to be clear.
I need dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me? Come on, share your dollar with me. Go ahead, share your dollar with me. Come on, share your.
Hello.
Yes, you're right. We do need to be clear that it was other people's guns. Yeah.
No, it wasn't other people's guns. It was the elite's military forces that provided the guns, provided the animus to have these attacks, which were devastating to the countries, Libya, Iraq. These countries were devastated by the attacks. And millions were killed and wounded. I mean, millions. And so I don't want to...
It's interesting some people at this site would doubt that. But it's to be resolved.
Nobody got hurt. Nobody died, except the people that died and got hurt.
Yeah,
it's, you know, when I hear that phrase, when I first heard that phrase, I thought, that is right out of an advertising or a propaganda department. It's
a very sloganistic thing, isn't it?
It's very sloganistic. It's right out of 1984 or Brave New World. Mm. It's not a reasoned argument. It's a slogan
a piece of propaganda, and it's very incendiary in what it's saying. Oh, you're saying all these people didn't die in all these different countries, Afghanistan, Iraq, whatever. I mean, it's absurd. It's so absurd that you go, anybody that believes that they're not just deluded fools. They are dangerous people. Stupid people are some of the most dangerous people in the world. And someone that believes that is very, very dangerous.
Well, I have to tell you I personally don't know anyone who died in it, and so I'm happy to entertain the idea.
I have a comment here for Graphene Lemming.
Yes.
Have you taken any sort of stock of making a distinction between narrative reality and five sense reality?
Yes.
So when you talk about massive numbers of death, and I'm not advocating for any particular side, but where would you say that would come down on the narrative versus five sense side of reality, the reports?
Well, for instance, I saw in the, let's see, I'm trying to remember which Iraq war it was. Was it Iraq War One or Iraq War Two? I think it was Iraq War One, and people were fleeing, the Iraqis were fleeing from up north to their country, and they're on a highway. And that whole highway was destroyed. There's vehicles littered all over it, blown up. Thousands of vehicles. I mean, you know, if you don't think that people died there, I mean, you know, it was like, unless it was the biggest Hollywood production ever, you know, like they assembled thousands of vehicles, they blew them all up, and they, you know, laid the fake bodies out and all this. I mean, you know, something can be fake and still people die. Okay? You can have a hoax and millions of people die. Like, look at the vaccines. The vaccine was the virus was a hoax. The vaccine as a cure was a hoax. Yet, thousands and thousands, hundreds, probably millions of people now are going to be negatively affected by it.
And that may very well be true, and I'm not going to say that it isn't, but my question is what is our actual evidence for all of these deaths? I'm just in the middle.
One needs discernment at all times. So when a detective looks at a crime scene and there's a body laying down there, and he sees holes in the body, and then he sees shell cases, and then he interviews the witnesses. And the interviews of the witnesses would be like the narratives. But he can always compare the narrative to the actual physical crime scene.
There's a huge difference.
The physical crime scene is always first.
What you're describing, though, as far as we're concerned, if we were the detective, the scenario you're describing would be a detective receives a report from someone that there's a body on the sidewalk with holes in it and shell casings laying around. And so what is the detective's level of certainty that that report is valid? Because he's not there to see the body.
The first thing he does is look at the physical evidence. Is there a body? And he looks,
What is the availability to us of physical evidence of people dying?
The availability is discernment. Discernment means you have to weigh physical evidence and narrative evidence. I would always give, personally, as an engineer, I would always give physical evidence the greatest weight. The physical evidence said there's no body there. and there's no blood, there's no crime scene that I can see, then a crime that wasn't committed. Now, maybe I have the wrong location. That could be the reason why. For instance, when I was going up to swim, I saw two cop cars and an ambulance pulled over on the side of the road. The ambulance was closed. The people, the ambulance drivers, weren't working on anybody. But I saw the cops going over the sidewalk. They were looking very closely at the sidewalk, like they're trying to find evidence. They didn't find any, because I watched them for a bit. I believe the person who got vaxxed fell over dead, and they found this person on the sidewalk. Someone did. They called it in. And now the police are tasked with finding a cause. Person is dead, just lying on the sidewalk. Can't find any evidence of a weapon, any shell casings. There's no blood on the corpse, except for probably where he fell down, maybe hit his head. So they're looking for evidence, and they can't find any. So they would have to say, like, well, this is a death. It's a medical death. The person had a heart attack or stroke, what have you. I think he was vaxxed to death, personally, and he had sudden adult death syndrome.
But you have to admit that that's an assumption on your part, and that's really as far as you can take it.
Well, then, no detectives could solve any crimes then, because they weren't there at the crime scene when it happened. They weren't there when the evidence was left at the crime scene. So when you make these kind of nihilistic statements, you're not able to understand how reality works. It shows that you have a very narrow conception of how the mind works and how proofs are given. I wasn't there for every scientific experiment that was made in the whole history of mankind, yet I can take any part of that experiment and test it myself. And if I think that part of it isn't true. But that doesn't mean
what I'm
that saying
is
every
about the vaccine, the person that you say on the sidewalk, you and in your assumption, you've ruled out heart attack, stroke.
No, he could have had a heart attack from the vaccine. Absolutely.
But
heart attack from the vaccine is one of the highest. Heart attacks from the vaccine is one of the most common causes of death. Strokes from the vaccine is one of the most common causes of death.
How do we know this?
I don't know. We don't know anything, according to you. And you can't find out. You should just stop right now because you can't know anything about reality.
I'm asking.
You can't find out anything about reality according to yourself. So you should just stop right now.
I'm asking you how you know. The burden of proof is not on me.
I have studied this. I have a channel on Wild Times 3 where I put down hundreds of articles where I've studied this stuff.
So you know that this is a vaccine death in the absence of an autopsy that could do the proper test that would determine that, yes, indeed, we find evidence of whatever graphene or the things that have clogged the blood vessels that caused the heart attack. But you can make that determination without the autopsy based on your opinion.
Let's put it this way. In my entire life of 67 years, I have never come across anyone lying dead. Yet, a year and a half after the vaccines have gone out, I know from all the research that I've done that people suddenly fall dead from heart attacks, from strokes. And I come across a scene where the ambulance is there. The people on the ambulance have the ambulance closed, and they're not working on anybody. So whoever they picked up doesn't need any work and is inside the ambulance. And I'm assuming they're dead, because if they're not dead, if they're injured, they would be working on them inside the ambulance, and the hospital is just a couple miles down the road. So they're not working on the person that they found sitting outside smoking cigarettes, and the cops are going over the sidewalk next to the ambulance where I'm assuming a person was found.
So you don't even see the person? Like all of this that you're describing?
No. No. So I'm making suppositions. No, hold it. I'm making suppositions. Listen, they don't send ambulances out to pick up nobody. I mean,
okay, so this is an example
of how your mentality fails you 100%. You do not see how stupid you are sounding right now.
Because you're telling me you saw an ambulance, the cops are
looking on the sidewalk for evidence of something. The guys are smoking cigarettes outside the ambulance waiting for the cops to finish.
I see it in my mind.
You cannot draw any conclusions whatsoever. You see how stupid you sound. You really sound stupid. You should take a detective course and figure out how to look at clues.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you saw an ambulance and you surmised vaccine death based on an ambulance and cops searching the sidewalk. That's what you've said. That's what you told me.
I said that the person probably had died.
You didn't even see a person.
That's right. Okay. See, that's the difference between you and me. I can look at evidence and draw conclusions, but you can't.
No, you told me you didn't see a body even. So let's put it this way. Let's assume that the court system is just and fair and it operates the way it would in a properly mediated situation that weighs evidence. And let's assume that we know possibly this person in the ambulance, assuming someone is there, which we don't even know, according to what you saw. They had a Pfizer vaccine.
No, you don't know it. You don't know. Hold it. You don't know it. You think because you can't figure it out that you have no information.
You told me you didn't see a body, so I'm a.
I don't need to see a body. Hold it. See, this is the difference between you and me.
Well, every time you see an ambulance, there's a body inside.
You can't figure anything out. You cannot figure anything out. You would make a terrible detective. You would make a terrible scientist. You would make a terrible anything because you can't figure anything out. You can't look at evidence and draw conclusions. You have no discernment. You have no discernment, and you're not able to do it. So you and I, we really have nothing in common. If you don't have discernment, then you're not really as human as I am.
Okay, so I see
your reduction to zero of everything is like it's some sort of nihilistic game, but the auto hoaxing thing is going away. It's not auto hoaxing.
Yes, ambulance, and you said there's a vaccine inside that ambulance, and I never even saw a body. So I don't even know if there's a body in there, for sure.
I think it's more... But
you don't know. To me like yes, this is a you're right. Dead. You don't know anything. Exactly. You don't know anything.
I know you saw
you
an ambulance.
You cannot look at anything to know anything. Therefore, we should be having this conversation, because you can't know anything. You don't know anything. No, you can't even ask any questions, because any answer I give... You won't be able to know about it because you weren't personally there to witness it.
You can't
know anything. Every scientific experiment that's ever been made, you can't know anything about it because you weren't there. You didn't do it. So anything that anybody says that tells you something, you weren't personally there, this and that. So you can't say 100% that that's what happened.
Can you let me finish my thought without talking over me for a minute? Give me one minute.
Okay? Then I got to go because I got to catch a bus.
Yeah. So assuming that there was a body in there, the body was vaccinated with Pfizer. Do you think you could walk into a court of law that is in the business of weighing evidence and mediating and sue Pfizer based on the evidence that you have brought to the court that you just described to me? Would that hold up in a court of law?
Man, Man, I want to take what you're taking. That is some good shit.
So you're telling me you think it would hold up? You could sue and win based on the evidence that you brought to me.
What are you talking about? What the hell are you talking? We're just talking about evidence. We're not talking about a court of law.
Well, the court weighs evidence, and that's how they make their decision.
Listen, you're so far out of your league in terms of
how you deal with reality. Here,
you can have opinions. You can have opinions. Everybody can have opinions, but
it's your opinion that you decided that.
No, it's your opinion that you can't make any judgments based on anything. That's your opinion. Well, sorry, I don't believe your opinion.
I withhold judgment until I have enough evidence to make a determined decision. I don't just assume.
Exactly.
Life doesn't work that way. You never have 100% information, buddy. Never. Never, ever, ever. That means you can't make any decisions because nothing is 100%. Nothing. Even in science, you can't have 100%. So you've already contradicted yourself. You've already contradicted yourself. You can't make any decisions whatsoever because you need 100% proof of everything. So therefore,
I never said anything about 100%.
Well, yes, you did. You have to have complete proof of something.
If I was on trial for murder, I would want people to have a body at the very minimum. And certainly fingerprints on a gun and maybe some gunpowder residue.
Are you a lawyer? Are you a lawyer?
I know what evidence is.
Say yes or no.
No, I'm not a lawyer. I have common sense and discernment.
No, you don't have common sense. No, you don't have discernment. No, you don't have any of those things.
you think like a lawyer in
ones and zeros, guilty, not guilty. You don't have any discernment. Don't fool yourself.
I know Dave J.
Listen,
Dave J's all about the discernment. He mentions discernment all the time.
Well, that's good. That's one thing I will agree with them. You have to have discernment. But if you think that four cops are looking on the sidewalk, examining it very closely for evidence, there's an ambulance sitting by where the two cop cars are, the doors closed, the two guys are...
They want to mask you like a criminal.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
You can have my vaccination. You can have the change that it brings.
So what did the cops say when you asked them what they were looking for?
I didn't ask them.
Oh. Okay.
I was going to swimming, so I was on the other side of the road. There was traffic, and I was going the opposite direction. So
well, that may have been an interesting conversation.
But you know what? You guys always bring up the same set of questions and the same set of ideas. You think like I haven't heard this series of questions or probings ever. Like, you're bringing up something new. But I get it. You believe that. So that's cool. You can believe whatever you want. But I can look at the same thing that you're looking at, and I can draw inferences from what I look at. But you can't do that. What do you think about nukes?
What do you think about nukes? Where do you land on the nuclear bomb idea?
There's no nukes.
There's no nukes.
But that's fully supported by the scientific establishment, you know.
Exactly.
That's all.
I got to go, though. I apologize. Well, actually, maybe I'll stay. Maybe I'll stay because I'll try to – I'll walk to the next town and catch a bus. How's that?
Please don't do that on my account unless you really need the exercise.
Well, I don't know. I do need the exercise, so – So, nukes is something where it's a narrative, and it's something that you can't test personally because you can't put together your own nuke. So, that is one thing where, you know, auto hoaxing may have more energy in the truth area. So have you examined the nuclear hoax?
Oh, in great detail. And the point I'm making is that is fully supported by the scientific establishment, and you can bury yourself in data and articles about how it works and the critical mass and all the atom separation and all that stuff. And a lot of the people that put out those stories in the reports are probably the same people that are putting out reports on other things. So I have some skepticism and not necessarily a very high level of trust for the people that put out this information. And that's
right.
What I'm getting.
And as you should, I'm not against skepticism. And the thing is though, with most of those hoaxes, as you speak of, are ones that you can't test very easily. For instance, when they say they went to the moon, or actually, you know, I was a young man. I think I was 12 when they're hopping around on the moon. And, I saw it live. And you can't make a nuclear bomb. You can't, you know, it's top secret. And all the information is, but... When I examine the evidence that they get, and that's all you can do is examine the evidence, right? So when you examine the evidence of the photographs of Hiroshima, they're really bad. It's a very bad combination of photographs that they're pasted together to make it look like it's one explosion. The narrative that they give doesn't fit. With what the photographs show, the radiation thing wasn't really talked about until many months later. So and then if you look at the Chinese nuclear bomb test that's on YouTube, you can still find it on YouTube, I think you could, and some of the Russian tests, you can see that their Hollywood abilities were less than the Americans, so they weren't able to cover up their ineptitude as well as the Americans could. So
the stuff's pretty shoddy too. The videos are pretty shoddy in my opinion.
Yeah, everything is shoddy about it. And of course, at that time, the media was believed wholeheartedly, so they thought they could get away with showing something that wasn't perfect. They could get away with it because no one would challenge the narrative.
We have a lot of information about that now. You know, there was one guy, Frank Bennett, I'm not sure about his name, but every piece of media and information and photography and everything was filtered through one Army correspondent.
General Grove? General Grove?
The person that was responsible for filtering everything that came out of Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yeah, he was. It was a Bernay. It was Freud's cousin. He was the head of the propaganda department. So that was Bernay as the propagandist. General Groves was the military leader in charge of the Manhattan Project.
I'm talking about all the reporting about the aftermath that came out and the pictures and everything. We're all filtered.
Yeah. I'm not sure if Groves handled that or someone else. I'm not sure about that.
And, of course, Curtis LeMay, who was the Air Force general tasked with bombing Hiroshima and Nagasaki, received it's the highest honor. It would be equivalent to the Congressional Medal of Honor in the U.S. from Japan. So yeah. That's a very interesting twist on that narrative, like, you know.
I'm familiar with Japanese architecture, and unfortunately for the Japanese, they use wood and paper buildings. So when they were firebombed in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, those buildings burnt just like a firestorm, and they used firebombs too. They didn't use regular explosions. They would drop these firebombs. And they were small, but you could drop a lot of them, and then they would start a fire, and then all these fires would combine into one big, horrendous fire. So, when you look at Tokyo was firebombed, and you look at Nagasaki and Hiroshima, they were firebombed. They looked the same. If you didn't know...
Dresden, too.
Dresden, yeah. I'm not sure if they used firebombs, but... It definitely burned the city up.
Yeah, the pictures all look similar.
Yeah.
More mortar and
somebody looking at Dresden would say, nobody got hurt, nobody died. You'd have to say, well, maybe if they were like 20 miles away from the city center, maybe you could say that. But it seems rather logical. That was the main rail hub. All these people were escaping. The Russians that were coming in from the west, and they were escaping, so they had to go somewhere. And of course, a city like that, Dresden, there's no military targets there. It was a city of art and stuff. There were no factories, right.
I have heard that in Japan there were a lot of warnings issued, and people had opportunity to flee the city prior to the bombings. Now I can't verify that. I don't know if that's true, but
I don't remember reading that. It's possible. But they did firebomb the rest of Japan. I mean, cities were burned down almost completely in the areas that had houses. And in an interesting twist, the parts of Tokyo that were burned down. The parts that were the most valuable land in the center of Tokyo. Yet the emperor's palaces and all of his stuff was never touched. So it just kind of makes it interesting that if you were the leader of Japan and you coveted all this land in the center of Tokyo, and it just so happens that the American Air Force destroys all, it's just houses. There was no military targets there. It was just all houses. Yet the Emperor of Japan and all of his property was untouched. Just makes you wonder, like, I don't want to sound conspiratorial, but it seems like that's a very odd situation.
I've heard that a similar thing is happening right now in Ukraine.
I would not doubt
relocation
that.
Project and corporations coming in and confiscating land or
I would not doubt that whatsoever. There's Ukraine is a first of all, it was the homeland of the Khazarians.
And
then secondly it's a breadbasket. So that Ukrainian flatland is a breadbasket of Europe. So the vast majority of the surplus grain and whatnot is grown there. And you notice when Putin had his blitzkrieg, he didn't go into the areas where the farmers were starting to sow the grain and the wheat. He just stuck to the roads and... took military targets, but he didn't try to chase the farmers off the land. He let the farmers plant. So I don't know. I don't think that the war in Ukraine is what we're being told, the way we're being told it.
IPS has a really good interview lately with this Les Luthor guy that talks a lot about what he saw when he went there. It was very interesting.
Oh, yeah. I've been following it a while. It seems very odd to me. I followed when 2014, they had an orange revolution there in Ukraine, and they snipers killed a bunch of people, then burned some people alive in a building, and then chased out the president. He fled to Russia. And then there was a civil war with the Russian-speaking people in the West, or in the East, excuse me. And I followed that very closely. But then all of a sudden, it kind of just settled down, and these provinces in the East said, we want to join Russia. And Putin rejected that. He assassinated any leaders that tried to make Putin look bad for rejecting it. And they passed laws in the Duma making it a crime to bring up that the, talking about having these Trump states join Russia. So and then all of a sudden now Russia's going full in, with this war 8 years later. I mean, it's 8 years later, And so it's just very odd. There's just a lot of behavior by Putin that doesn't make sense in terms of what happened before. I don't know.
Well, to us, perhaps. But then if it's part of a particular strategy that they've organized and are using to accomplish an objective in their agenda, then it might make sense if we knew what it was.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. I just see this as like there's some. For me, I see this as like they're trying to draw Russians, NATO, U.S. is trying to draw the Russians into a larger conflict. And so this larger conflict obviously is going to spill over into Western Europe. And it's already happening. Is this the World War III that Masons, Pike, General Pike talked about? I have no idea, but it does seem like the Western NATO forces, U.S., is escalating. And so where does that leave? Where do you go? Escalation, and now Putin is escalating on the other side. 300,000 troops, and he says he's going to use tactical nuclear weapons, but I don't believe in nuclear weapons. But they've got other stuff. So they got microwave weapons that can knock out electric grids, and also microwave weapons that I think could affect the vaccinated very, very poorly. That the graphene oxide could pick up the signal and short out people, cause them to die or turn them into zombies or something.
That's very sci-fi.
It's very sci-fi, but I've seen videos of people on their cell phones. All of a sudden, they get a signal and they start shorting out, start twitching and shorting out and die. So I've seen videos, I've seen stuff, and once you see it, and then you see lots of other ones,
to a resource where we could look at that? I'm curious. It sounds interesting.
Wake the fuck up, and on BitChute, it's a good source. If you want to see people having graphene oxide, electrical shorting out of the nervous system, or the sudden adult death syndrome, getting the shakes, all these different variations of the disease. So wake the fuck up on BitChute. It's a really good one. It'll freak you out, though. When you start watching those videos, you know, you got to be in a good state of mind because it's not easy to watch them. Because you know people that are vaccinated, right?
I do. Quite a lot of them, in fact. Almost everyone I know. And that's my issue, is that so far I haven't seen anyone have any serious problems. So, and it, which isn't to say, you know, that's, I'm not going to be fallacious, the fallacy of composition or whatever. Just
yeah.
Because I'm not seeing it doesn't mean it's happening a lot of other places. I realize that.
Yeah, it's puzzling. Yeah, it's puzzling because we know that different batches of shots, some batches have very serious outcomes. People die right away or very shortly afterwards. And other batches, hardly anybody dies right away. So, you know, it's a, it, they're not, they're, you know, a lawyer could take the vat, the batch results and say, listen, you're saying you're producing safe vaccines, but how can these batches be, one batch be so toxic and another one not toxic? They could just get the vaccine on that issue right there. Vaccines are all supposed to be the same, right?
But we it's common knowledge, it's well understood that the manufacturers have indemnification right up, off the bat. So,
but you can't,
I mean, that's,
you can't have
to be to avoid it. Like, yeah. Why do you need indemnification?
Yeah.
If your product is safe, you don't need that.
Right. But
so
you, if
but,
you,
you know,
if you,
world.
If right, if you say that you're going to make a safe vaccine and it contains X, Y, and Z, and all the batches are safe and effective, and then you find out that the batches don't have X, Y, and Z, they got A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and the vaccine batches are all different, like they're testing it out on a large population, and there's the death rates are wildly variable to the vaccines, then that is fraud. And any contract made under a fraudulent proclamation is null and void. If someone tells you, hey, we're going to do this deal, I'm going to throw in $1 million from this project I have, and we'll buy this property. And so you buy the property, you sign a contract with a guy, and he's going to give you $1 million, you know, a year after you buy the property. And he tries to take possession, and you go, hold it. You never gave me the $1 million. You know, you're trying to take the property under fraudulent conditions. That's fraud.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Wild Times from Washington, D.C., and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, so the Wild Times server, I have a lot of postings about graphene oxide and the vaccine and whatnot. So if you look at this, you look at the live stream notes, I posted the last article of 1,200 diseases caused by the Pfizer disease, and I got a link to that.
But it's called, isn't that part of their published documentation? Those are just listed as a possibility.
Well, they're forced to release it. They wanted to hold on to that for 75 years and then release it.
Right.
So,
I heard it was 13 pages of small print, and it lists,
it's,
I don't know,
whatever it is. When you start reading it, you'll just go, "What disease doesn't this have?" For instance, my mother died of scleroderma. It's a cross-linking
right.
disease of collagen, and she had the bad kind, so it cross-linked through her lungs, through her liver, you know, through her kidneys, and they say, oh, there's no, we don't know the cause of it, and it's not genetic, and guess what, scleroderma, like many kinds of scleroderma, are some of the 1,200 diseases caused by the Pfizer vaccine. Isn't that interesting? So here's a disease that the medical establishment has no causal, they don't know what it is, and they don't know how to treat it, and this and that. Yet, in the 1,200 diseases caused by the Pfizer vaccine released, there are multiple scleroderma diseases caused by the vaccine. Interesting. I think we could hypothesize that perhaps vaccines caused my mother's death.
Do you listen to Crow at all?
No.
He had an interview with I can go back and find it because there's some guy that was on his show that has this entire protocol for specifically detoxifying yourself from the vaccine if you were gullible enough to take it. And he has some recommendations.
You know, your body does break it down. But the problem is with graphene oxide, since it's an inorganic molecule, and because of its electrical conductivity and properties, that what happens instead is your body uses up vital, like your glutathione, your zinc. Your body like is exhausted by trying to get rid of it, if you've got a lot of it. So then what happens is you get systemic inflammation across your body, and you're getting your organs start shorting out. You start getting blood clots. Not blood clots, they're clots. They're not blood clots, but they're clots. And it's almost like you have to be taking these things as soon as you take the shot, because you don't know the amount of graphene oxide or spions that you're getting. It's like a crapshoot. You know, you don't know because they're withholding information. So, you know, they're not being honest with the customers.
Well, have you heard recently about the latest iteration that was supposedly tested on 8 mice and given a pass on that? I've heard that report several places. They're like,
yes.
Tested fine. We're good to go.
Well, now they're saying, oh, we've got these vaccines where you can get 6 different shots in one shot. So you could get a booster. You could get a flu vaccine. You could get polio. You could get 3 other ones, whatever. And you're just going, hold it. There's been no testing on this. That's impossible. They couldn't have tested this. But they're saying, oh, it's safe and effective. And you're just like, what? What the hell, man? Like,
what do you think? How far do you think, like, a person who is considering getting one of things, how long would they have to look to come across the information that we know about this stuff? I don't think it would take too very long on Google. To turn up a handful.
I don't think you could find it very easily on Google. Maybe other.
You don't think so?
Yeah, I don't think so. But the problem is information control is real, right? And in my town, for instance, just this week, the university is stating, yes, we've got some new booster vaccines and we've got flu vaccines. And they're saying to the students, oh, yeah, we're going to have them ready for you, you know. And then the library in our town, they had a get-together at night to face down vaccine disinformation. So it's just unbelievable the amount of it's like a military-style attack against the populace. It's the only thing I could compare it to. So a military style attack.
I was just going to say, don't you think that it's possible, though, that they gear certain articles and scientific information towards our corner of the internet? Just like they do the MSM and the people that are in the system fully. They gear certain.
Absolutely.
So that I that's why I question the validity of some of these, like Pfizer releasing that article or whatever about the 1,200 diseases or whatever. It seems like that was only released to our area of the internet for us to ponder.
Well, it wasn't released by the mainstream media. So the people that just watch the mainstream media.
This is, you have to realize that the propaganda goes throughout all the internet for every corner of it. And I don't want to get caught in that. I don't want to get caught in another trap. I've been in a trap since birth, right? We all have.
Well,
we've been in a trap
One has to make discernments. I know people that have been injured by the vaccines. One person should have died, but his son was a top doctor at Duke University Hospital. So he survived because of that. Because ordinarily, if someone his age, he was 83, came in with this kind of very severe injury, this clotting that he had, that would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to treat just for one day, that they would say, well, you know, give him something to kill the pain. And they actually said that when they found him passed out, someone had to break down his door. And they said that he was within an hour of having his leg go gangrene and having it cut off because the clot had stopped the circulation in his leg. I also talked to him about he had mental problems. He said he's not right in the head. He went insane. He woke up. He went insane. He went upstairs and was pounding on the door, stating that they were playing loud music. And his next-door neighbor came up to him and go, what are you doing? He goes, oh, these people are playing loud music. I can't sleep. He goes, listen, that person is on vacation. There's no one there in that apartment. So he woke up and had a psychotic break. And I think he had a blood clot in his brain that caused that to happen. And he said...
Yeah, so that was my next question.
So he's had five different things happen to him. The four that happened later were like, oh yeah, this is the new variant. But he had those symptoms before the new variant came out. So I know other people that have died, you know, other people that have had stuff. We can argue about, you know, the VAERS database is showing that these injuries and deaths are the equivalent of all the vaccines given by every doctor in America for the last 20 years combined together. So we're talking about some serious numbers here. We're not talking about a half a dozen here, a half a dozen there. We're talking about all the vaccines combined, all the diseases caused by every vaccine combined for the last 20 years, not just 1 year, for the last 20 years.
The same can be said of athletes dying on the field in the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, if you're following, like, people who are Hollywood people who are in the news, they're dying off tremendously. One guy died on the set. He was they were shooting a movie, and he just died. Sudden adult death syndrome. He just cranked over and died. Like, and there's lots of them. It's happening. It's accelerating. The pace is accelerating. And now you're getting, 12-year-old teenagers just dropping dead in school. I mean, it's all over the place. It's if you go to Wake the Fuck Up on BitChute. And you have to. It's going to be hard to watch these videos, though. So I just want to warn you: don't be in a bad mood or a place where you're vulnerable, because it's heartbreaking to watch it. But once you start seeing it, then you're going to see these patterns of how they die over and over again. And it's nothing like, it's unlike anything you've ever seen before.
If you're a truther, you'd be just fine.
What's that? I didn't catch that.
I said, if you're a truther, you should be just fine looking at that stuff. You've already seen plenty of stuff.
Yeah, I'm a little hardened to it now. Because I've seen it over and over again. It's very disturbing, though. I mean, you know, when you see people shorting out, you know, it's just one of the most heartbreaking things I saw was a motor scooter, I think, in China. And the father was driving and the daughter was sitting behind him. And he had sudden adult death syndrome. And so all of a sudden he died and the scooter went over on its side. And the little girl got off and she's yelling, you know, daddy, daddy, wake up, you know. You can hear her, it's daddy, you know. And, you know, people come by and she's, you know, yelling for her daddy to wake up. That was the toughest one, I have to say. But, yeah, it's just like if you are looking at anything, see enough of it, you understand the patterns, you know.
But how do you have that much compassion for people who are dumb enough to make these kinds of decisions?
Well, I think that most people are sheep to begin with. So, they're sheep.
Sheep?
And so, sheep. They're going to follow the crowd. Wherever the crowd goes, they're followers. The crowd of lemmings jump off the cliff, they're going to jump off the cliff too.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't mean that I can't have compassion for them and try to help them in any way I can. It's been very frustrating, though, I have to admit.
I don't know, man.
There just comes a time
where you just got to move on and you got more important stuff because you have a higher frame of mind. So you got to talk to people with that higher frame of mind so you can be on their own.
I'm talking to Truth I Am, right? Is that who I'm talking to? Truth I Am?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So when this whole thing went down in March 2020, and I started talking with people, and, after a year or two, you just realize that certain people, you've already given them the message, haven't received it, and, okay, I've done what I can do. I can't, I'm only myself. I can't make people change their minds. So
you needed to tell, and they didn't listen.
Yeah. So that's all I can do.
That's all you can do.
Yep.
I think there are people out there that are giving people too much attention as far as the compassion is concerned. When you've already told these people, you told them many times, they didn't listen. Well, guess what? They're paying for it maybe down the road.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. It's very frustrating to be in this position where you see things clearly and accurately, and then you're not able to communicate that to other people where they can understand it. It's been a black pill I've had to swallow every day for 2.5 years.
I'd say it's more like a red pill, but yeah.
Yeah. And, I thought people would be able to understand what better, you know. They'd be understand things better and grow out of their misconceptions, but many people cannot.
Yep, that's a damn thing. It's a damn thing.
Yeah, truth I am. You're kind of like fading in and out. Sometimes I can't hear you.
I talk into my phone.
Oh, there you are. That's better. Whatever you're doing.
You got a lot of feedback in your background, so it's harder for you to hear.
Oh, I'm in a public area, so you can hear a lot of crowd sounds.
Where are you?
Yeah, I'm outside in a public area outside an organic restaurant. And the kids are dragging around chairs, making noise. So, whatever.
Kind of spooky. What kind of food do they offer?
What
kind of food do they offer?
Oh, all kinds. You know, no hamburgers though. Yeah, truth I am. You got to get a better connection or something. You're dropping out a lot.
I think it's just you, dude.
Think I'm dropping out? Okay, that could be.
Let me check my.
That could be. Yeah.
It's not you. It's you hearing me. I think.
Okay. You can hear me, right? Or not? Yeah, I can't hear you. maybe we should end this. I don't know. We're not. Is face value still there?
I could come back in and find out that's wrong.
Yeah, you're farce value. Are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, you left out the R the first time. That's important.
I know. Sorry about that.
But you can get it. Yeah, I put the R
and Fred,
right in the
Fred
middle of face
Pacer.
Value.
Yeah.
I don't take things at face value anymore.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I just think that we have difference in how we perceive information. Let's put it that way. But I think we always seem to start off on the wrong foot, but then we kind of get to an agreement somewhere further down the road. I don't know why that
That's
is.
The thing. I'm not in disagreement with you. I'm just looking for more information to try to put everything together in a way that I'm satisfied with how I understand it.
Yeah.
And it could be, you know. Yeah. And I'm not one to dismiss all the reports and all the bears and all that kind of stuff. I mean, those reports are out there, and they could well be accurate. And it's a tragedy of epic proportions. I'm a little bit on the fence of whether the thing is just a straight up genocide, mass genocidal formula for, you know, 7 billion people or whatever the number is. Like, you know,
I don't think it has to be straight up that it can be a Swiss Army knife. And what I mean by that is, so for instance, in Taiwan. After the break.
I'm Del Qua.
I'm Ashika.
Dave George.
Cody from Memphis.
Silver Bay.
Chris from Hoaxbusters.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
And we're back in Taiwan. The birth rate was very stable last 20 years. It would go up a little bit or down a little bit, but the first quarter of 2021, or it might have been the second quarter, the birth rate plummeted 23% in Taiwan. Now, people were locked up in their homes for a large amount of time. So in a normal period, when people are locked up, then the birth rate should skyrocket. That's what happens in snowstorms and other places where people have nothing else to do. So, the 23%
could have become homicidal toward one another after being locked up too long. So.
That's true.
I mean, devil's
That's
advocate true. Here.
There you go. 23% drop in the birth rate is, compared to the previous statistical information, is phenomenally bad, really bad. Like, so, you know, depopulation and sterilization is part of the larger game plan.
Well, yeah, that's obvious. It has been quite some time.
Yeah,
So
that's what I consider the trans program to be.
Yeah.
Sterilization program.
I don't know if you're watch any mainstream media, but TV shows that show predictive programming. There's a great show called Utopia. The British one is the best one. It's called Utopia. And if you could watch that, it shows, talks about all the things that we're talking about now, about the vaccine, about, you know, having diseases caused, and depopulation and sterilization. And it's entertaining. So that's the other thing. The American version isn't so good, but it still hits all those high notes. But I'd watch the British one for entertainment value. And it's called Utopia.
I don't know if the Little Shady's still on, but I feel like IPS may have referenced that in one of his
things. Okay, it's possible. It's possible.
Predictive programming, yep, in particular.
Yep, he did. He did, Farce. Mm-hmm. Yep. Covered that intensely.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, yep. There's so much of it, though. I mean, it's almost,
yeah, there's predictive programming everywhere. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. So.
And that is part of the program, you know?
Yeah. So, certain places have...
But the thing is, I just want to comment, though. The predictive programming can go both ways. It can be they want us to believe this, or they want to make it our future. And you have to watch that aspect of pre-programming too, because they're pre-programming us in so many different ways right now that you just have to have so much discernment and an internal compass to call out all the BS, which is harder and harder to do these days because it's coming at us like a shitstorm. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yep. Well, I agree with that. You know, and the kind of lies they tell, some lies are little lies, some truths are little truths, and they leave out another truth that goes along with that truth. So you have to be circumspect about, you don't want to believe everything they're telling you.
Right, but they want us, I don't know who said this, but they want us to not be able to differentiate reality from unreality. That's their goal. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with that. I think that there's an attempt to scale back analog reality and then substitute a digital reality, and in different forms, you know, like, for instance, in one of the movies that came out, you know, they have this whole, people are living in like trailer parks where the trailers are piled up.
Ready Player One.
Yeah. And so his only escape is digitally. He can go into this game, and that's his world now. The real world is shit, so he goes to the digital world. That's where he gets his juice from. So I think there is a push toward that, no doubt.
And the question is that by conditioning of the mind and eventually the subconscious will, you know, sort of drive people into manifesting the reality that they're being subject to digitally over time.
Yeah, I mean, cause and effect, social conditioning, you know, those things are real. But when you see someone shorting out from graphene oxide, and they're holding a cell phone and they're shorting out, you see the cell phone turn on and all of a sudden you see them shorting out, you know, like, once you see that,
You can't unsee it. It's like it's a come to Jesus moment. And you have the movie Cell, and you have one of the there's another movie. It's based in Britain. Not the Majesty's Secret Service. But anyway, it's the same thing. They have similar kinds of things. So the build-out of the digital 5G networks everywhere is, even during the pandemic, you know, those guys didn't stop. None of them wear masks, by the way. And they were building out. They were working weekends. I mean, they were going full out to get this, to get these microwave towers in place. And and it just so happens that the places that the were the first places where the Wuhan virus attacked was in Wuhan. Wuhan had like 10,000 or something ridiculous, 20,000 towers, 5G towers. Then the next place it attacked was northern Italy, and that area had many. It was the first 5G area there. Then you had the cruise ships, and those cruise ships had 5G technology inside of them also. So you have three places that were the center focus of the disease pandemic, all having 5G technology. What are the odds?
The only issue I have with at least the cruise ships in Italy is the once they went back and adjusted the numbers for age-directed mortality, there wasn't any real spike in Italy. And the cruise ship fatality rates were really low, considering, you know, the per capita number. So then you get back to that thing of what, you know, the reporting of the numbers.
Well, in China, they had a law passed. And before this whole pandemic took off, they had to have mandatory vaccinations. So guess what city was vaccinated first?
Wuhan, of course, right?
Yes. And then a month later, these microwave technology with graphene oxide is very sensitive to electromagnetic radiation. Picks it up and then like an antenna, and then it forwards the charge to the body. And also, the same thing in Italy. Italy had a vaccination program of an unusual vaccine. It was a new vaccine for the flu, and had never been tried before. So that's what they said. And it was given to all these people in nursing homes. Now, nursing home people are already sick to begin with and have a limited lifespan. So you give them graphene oxide or super paramagnetic iron oxide nanoparticles and other stuff. And then you have 5G cell towers nearby, which it just seemed weird. Why would they put 5G towers near nursing homes? These people don't use the internet like young people, right? So you have another similar characteristic. And I don't know if they gave flu shots to old people that got on ship. I don't know about that. But at least two out of three, we know that they were given vaccines right before the outbreak, and they had 5G was already installed. So draw your own conclusions.
I can't even imagine at this stage anybody standing in line for one of these things just on the basis of the mainstream official narrative. It's like, why would you bother?
Well, I think people that drank the Kool-Aid will come back. If they're not sick, they'll come back. I know people that I knew this ex-fireman, ex-cop, excuse me, and he took one shot, and I believe it was Pfizer, and he said that every injury that he suffered throughout his entire life became super inflamed. He said he couldn't even get up out of bed. So apparently he had something fall on his hands where he broke all of his fingers, and then he had like an injury, a hip injury, and then a back injury. So all those things right after he got injected, all those things just flared up. And he said it was the worst thing he'd ever experienced in his entire life. And of course, he only took one shot. After that, he was done. There's no way. So a lot of people, I believe, you know, they, and I think the numbers prove this out. A lot of people took the first shot, and many of them had reactions they never had before. So they stopped it. They didn't take the second shot. Then people that took the second shot, some of them had reactions that they never had before, and they wouldn't take the third. So there's this progressive dropping out of the people that took shots. They dropped out of the shot program as injuries were caused by it, you know. So,
well, I will say this, as far as in real life, you know, anecdotal evidence goes, I've talked to a number of people that have had bad reactions to these shots and, you know, ended up in bed, sick, not necessarily hospitalized from what I heard, but some of them described it as being very, very serious, you know, in bed for a couple of days, you know, unable to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, and the media always said, well, that shows it's working. Right? You remember that, right? The messaging? Oh, yeah, that means it's working. You're having a strong reaction. So it works. So therefore, you know, taking it.
So sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
well,
too
I
bad.
I don't know if anybody on this channel or in this call is going to be susceptible you know.
Well, you know, you never know. I mean, I don't harbor any ill will to people that took the shots. I don't wish them ill, or I do not wish them to be ill. But on the other hand, you know, if it comes to, well, they're going to make me take it, well, that's a whole different ball of wax, you know.
Haven't really talk to too many people even about these detox protocols. I really don't think I would get much traction with people if I tried to talk to them about that. I just don't think they would take it serious.
Well, the monkeypox, they've already had a few deaths from monkeypox. They got the monkeypox vaccine, and after being injected with the COVID, which destroys your immune system. And when you get a monkeypox vaccine, which is a live virus, I don't believe in viruses, but the live virus maybe means it's a potent shot. Maybe I can translate it into something I can believe.
Which that in itself is a contradiction, because we're told by them that a virus is not alive. So how did they put a live virus?
Oh, and the monkeypox. The monkeypox. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in the monkeypox, they say it is alive. So these Hollywood guys took it, and one of them died from it. And there's probably a few other ones. So, and they're promoting it, the monkeypox. People are getting shots for it. So when you have a destroyed immune system, then almost anything that is given to you that's potent is going to be a very, very serious problem. And but the key is you have to destroy the immune system or it can't fight back. And that's why AIDS patients got all kinds of weird cancers, various kinds of weird diseases that nobody, like doctors, had never seen this before. Because anybody with the immune system would have fought it off. But when you have no immune system, then, you know, these weird diseases start manifesting. And so I'm afraid that
I don't think there's really an accepted and official verified single cause of the thing we know of is AIDS. So that's another problem too.
Yeah, I put a paper in that other Wild Times 3 server where I talked about that. Yeah, I don't think AIDS really exists. A lot of scientists
Very similar, maybe, in the way it worked out, is that probably a lot of the people that whose deaths were attributed to AIDS were succumbed to AIDS. Seems to be
yes, yes,
story.
Yep,
so administered so easily as the vaccine, you know, you'd have to go into a hospital. I think it maybe it was like intravenous, like chemo or something. I don't know.
I think you're right about that. There's a lot of it. The Wake the Fuck Up, I think, has an article about that. That BitChute channel.
I'm interested.
I really suggest you look at that.
I will.
And there's another channel on BitChute called Remark 88. R E M A. Let me see here. Let me see if I can find it. A little tired right now, so might. REMARQUE.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really good channel for all kinds of information around this issue. He does talk about the medical angle. He also talks about the political angle. And he's also a very perceptive individual. They're short videos, so it's not something that's going to drag out. And he'll leave links if you want to go into more in-depth information about that. But he gives you, it's not like five blind men feeling an elephant. He's got one guy who can see the whole elephant. And then, tell you about it. And he's very perceptive. He's kind of a singular individual where he can communicate what he knows. So he's not a scientist or anything, but he's smart enough to know, what's bullshit, what's not. I would highly recommend going through his videos. I learned a lot. So, and Wake the Fuck Up. Wake the Fuck Up. You're not going to get as much intellectual content, but you're going to see the patterns that show up. And once you see those patterns, start looking around you. Like, I went into a coffee shop and I saw this woman shaking, and I go, "Holy shit, she's got it."
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
You ever feel like we're walking around with They Live glasses?
Every single day. Every single day, man.
Did you watch that movie? Did you see the Roddy Piper and the original They Live? I heard they were redoing it.
Yeah. Really?
And but when I saw it the first time, I was a little bit I couldn't understand the link. There was a very protracted fight scene when he was trying to convince the guy to put on the glasses and he was refusing. It seemed like it went on forever. And I was like, why is this going on so long? What is the deal? I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's fighting. And now I understand it. It totally makes sense to me. Post-2020,
I missed it completely. I was an artist in New York City. I was going to see art films, all the old Italian Fellini films and all that stuff. And so I totally missed it. And then somebody, you know, 10 or 15 years ago turned me on to it. And I was like, holy crap, you know, like, this is just telegraphing.
A lot of the information that we all know now, you know.
Exactly.
You know, and then I saw it. I go, I cannot believe how this film to exist. You know what I mean? Yeah, so. Well, listen, we have to have a talk where we don't start off with confrontation and we end up.
Well, I apologize if you found me.
No, that's all right.
So it wasn't my intent. I was just asking questions, trying to get a.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's it can kind of get. I guess I just get the auto hoaxing thing just gets on my nerves after a while. And
yeah, you got to let that go and let everybody just be themselves. We all can get along because we're all adults.
I guess so. But I'm trying to get somewhere. So that's the problem with the auto hoaxing is that it puts a brake on exploration of the evidence.
No, it doesn't put a brake on it. It doesn't put a brake on it. It makes you have to find enough evidence to prove the majority of the people, and that's what we're finding.
No, but the auto hoaxers feel like they don't have to provide any evidence, you see?
No, that's not true.
No, that's true, because when you started talking about graphene oxide with me, you told me I had to prove it exists, where really...
Yes.
No. You have to prove it doesn't exist. The evidence
that's
is out
impossible.
There.
You can't prove you negative. We already know this. So that's, you know.
Well, the September clues proved that the video feed of the airplanes hitting the towers was false. What's the difference?
But there, yeah, but you can look at the video itself and make that determination, which I was posting stuff on the Fakeology, just going through the Steve Diak channel and picking out frames and obvious manipulation, you know, you can see it.
Yeah.
But I'm, like I said, I'm not disputing you, and there is a big knowledge gap between where you are and where I am, and I know you have a much deeper understanding of these things. So, I've read a lot of articles on just the general, you know, manufacturing uses for graphene oxide. I'm not sure.
Exactly.
Graphene oxide. And there's another hydroxide too that people were talking. That guy in Germany or whatever.
Right.
So my expertise, this knowledge falls off at a point to know the different molecular combinations and whatnot. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, not everything is a media hoax. There's real evidence out there. If you the boss of everything's a media hoax, well, unfortunately, 99% of reality isn't the media. So you're excluding 99% of reality and trying to put media hoax ideas over everything, which doesn't work.
Well, my issue, I think, there's a couple of things. I think a lot of people watch the news and they immediately assume that what they see is factual simply because it's the news, per se, which makes it real to them. And then there's the other thing that people have the idea that the news's primary function is to capture and distribute facts and inform the public. And I have a big problem with those two ideas.
You too. Hey, first value.
But you can also apply
a little shady 82. I'm sorry, I have to go. I have to catch a bus.
Okay.
Fantastic chat.
I'm going to have to walk. I'm going to have to walk into town in order to catch this other bus. But let's continue the conversation. please look at those two links I gave you on BitChute. I think you'll be interested in what they have to say.
Yeah, I will be, I'm sure. Thanks for that.
Okay. Take care now.
Yeah.
You too. Have a good night.
I was just going to say, Forrest, continuing on your analysis of what you just said about the media, if you apply that to NASA, it rings true that all their space articles and, you know, all their crap is focused on programming, and it's the same scenario. So why wouldn't you be able to apply that to science, to these big manufacturing companies or whatever that's coming out with all these new technologies that's supposed to, you know, be able to do all this stuff? Why wouldn't they be part of that scenario also?
Well, and I agree with you about that, and I think there's, you know, a lot of potential for that, but we could just say we could take ourselves back in a time machine to the 60s when all the stuff was going on with JFK and the nuclear race and everything, and maybe we might be looking at someone talking about, I don't know what, supersonic jets or cell phones or something, and saying in the same way that we're saying now, oh, that stuff doesn't exist. That's just a hoax. They're just,
true.
You know what
and
I mean?
I've actually.
There's that possibility.
Right. But we're getting into the technology that you can't see under a microscope because it's too small. That's where I draw the line. Because we can see jets. We can see
right.
the technology
yeah.
that was talked about back in the day because we see it. We've flown on it. It's real. We can't see something that we can't see.
That's all.
So how do you prove that?
Well,
so how does anyone ever find evidence to be able to prove what they're saying? And that's my dilemma with all of it.
But at some point, we may see some, I don't know, commercial use for this graphene oxide in a way that has, you know, the electrical charge and communication with towers or something. And it might just be, you know, normal for that time to see this stuff in action all the time. And then we might look like idiots 10 years from now, right? Saying it didn't exist.
I mean, we could possibly, but right now the evidence is not there, in my opinion, because if you can't see it under a microscope, how does anyone go about proving that it actually exists?
You see, that's something I can't comment on because I don't know. I don't have that level of research involved, whether it can be seen or not.
I have. I mean, I went into detail about it because there's been several people in my life that have focused on graphene oxide, and I did my due diligence and went and researched and found out how small it was and that it couldn't really be seen under a microscope. And that's by their own words.
Okay.
That's by their own, I mean, that's yeah. from the companies themselves. So that's where my questions come in. It's like, okay, what evidence is there if you can't see it? Where's the evidence that it exists? Yeah, it is a bit of a problem.
Well, I haven't looked.
I mean, all you have to do is go look up the size of a nanoparticle and see if you can comprehend the size of it just from their description alone. And it puts into question the whole basis of that technology.
One thing I have looked into somewhat, and I think this is still the official story, is that even the electron microscopes of today are several degrees, if not magnitudes, less powerful than Royal Rife's microscope. Do you know anything about that?
No. I haven't actually researched microscopes themselves as far as how powerful or not powerful they are. That would be something to do. But since you have it, you have that piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, and it is kind of interesting because the way I understand it, they sort of either deplatformed or demonized him, ruined him, confiscated his stuff, and there may be one or two or maybe even parts surviving of the Reich microscope, but I'm pretty sure, according to the official narrative, it was 13 or 17 times more powerful than the most powerful electron microscope of the day. And it would be, you know, it is sort of interesting that they would have a real interest in making sure that level of magnification was unavailable, you know, probably because it would put the whole virus thing.
Well, it would put probably a lot of things in question, because when you're talking nano anything, that particle is too small to see under a microscope. Anything that's nano that they're coming out with right now, if you actually go onto the websites and you actually research what they're saying, it's too small to see under a microscope. So how are they working with it?
And I want to say the other thing about the Rife microscope, it was available to observe these things in real time and see things moving around. And that's not possible with an electron microscope. They have to use all kind of fixatives and dyes and heat and other things that probably alter the thing they're trying to look at to the point where it's unrecognizable by the time they can see it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you always see, even on the videos that they show, you see the scientist or whatever dropping something you see it in all the pre-programming on TV too, with all the forensic scientists and stuff like that. When they're testing something, they have to put something in there to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it, you know, on the videos of the scientists themselves. So what's that tell you? They're not seeing something in its natural form.
Right.
So, I mean, I question all of that because just my logic tells me to question it, because it doesn't make sense to me that you would have to add anything to anything natural to see it.
But Linda, are you right? A doctor or a scientist?
I am not.
Well, we don't have to listen to you and your silly logic now, do we?
No, we don't.
How many letters do you have after your name?
But that's where we are, right? I mean, that's where we are. I mean, it's amazing that is where it is. If you don't have certain letters after your name, including XYZ and LBGQ and, you know, all the other letters or whatever, nobody pays attention to. Yeah. You can't say a word unless you have those letters.
You can't even be a part of the conversation.
Right.
You're not allowed. And
you're allowed to. Yeah.
We let you. Not only amongst us. We're allowed to. We might have to be berated for it, but yeah, we're allowed to. At your own risk.
Yeah, very interesting.
What do you got to say about all this?
Real quick before you Frank answer, are we already on like the Australian roundtable call that's going to go like all throughout the night and into the morning?
I don't think there is one of those things anymore.
We're it for today.
Well, whatever, the Rick and Rollo and I think
you've got to learn to say this, Fast Radio. Hi, I'm Rollo.
Uh-oh. But maybe there's news I haven't heard yet.
Hi, I'm Rollo. Can you do that?
I can, but I want to know why. What's going on in Australia?
Well, there was a bit. What happened last Saturday?
It's the pig in the pokey thing. You have to say that.
No, what happened was that one of the participants, Golden Skidmark, aka Living Man, kept posting a clip about, like, you know, white racism type stuff, white, you know, comical white supremacy stuff, and wouldn't stop. And Rick kind of said, I've had enough of that and I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. And I think it was sufficiently antagonistic to Rick that he's just decided not to pursue that anymore. And I think that's where it is at the moment, anyway, as far as I know.
But what does that have to do with Rollo?
Rollo pressed Dab's buttons once too much last week. And so they've decided to cancel they've retired the Rick and Rollo show.
Wow, the end of an era.
That's a bummer.
That's my understanding.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's news.
So, and I think they talked about it on one of the Rick and Abs. The last Rick and Ab, that was a discussion.
But if I wake up tomorrow at 6 a.m., which would be 8 p.m. your time, and log on, we could start a chat, and that'll just be the show.
We could do that? Yep. Most definitively.
Well, I always enjoy your point of view, Frank. You know, that,
and
we diverge on many things on this panel. There's a lot of different points of view that I never mind hearing your thoughts on most things.
Well, I think the only real difference is I've got a biblical bent, which that's a recent thing for me, by the way, Fast Value.
Yeah, and it's a phase, and you'll get over it when you realize what it is.
I say if it's working for him, then I'm just going to say, you know.
Oh, no, I'm not. Me and Frank's had lots of discussions about it, and we're good.
I think we are.
Can't be right.
I have expressed no acrimony towards you, have I?
No, never. Linda? Never. No, never.
Nor I hope to you, Fuss.
Yeah.
Yeah, and anybody who uses the word acrimony probably doesn't do it much.
Me and Frank actually agree a lot on what the Bible means. So, yeah.
LSD 33.
I'm Rachel
Konoku.
I'm Original Simulant.
Robbie Parker.
This is O'Hallahan.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Oh, and yeah, by the way, Linda, I'm so happy that you've been enjoying the Joseph Campbell stuff. I really felt like I got a lot out of that.
Oh, I'm glad that I actually listened to all that, because once I started it, it was like I couldn't stop. I just wanted to listen to all the rest of it. Very interesting stuff. Yep.
What are you guys talking about?
Joseph Campbell.
Yeah.
Ah.
Power of Myth.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
The writer.
Yeah, it's on YouTube, and it's a series. There's 6 episodes, and they're an hour long each.
And it's
very interesting stuff. Yep.
It's about the life of Joseph Campbell, the writer, is it?
No, it's about his story about what he thinks the power of the myth is.
Yeah.
So, very interesting stuff. Yep.
And he breaks down, unfortunately, I'm not familiar with a lot of the great works and old literature and the symbolism and stuff to really properly interpret a lot of things, but he talks about the Bible as mythology, and, you know, say, and, but the way he frames it, it's that it's, if you accept it as mythology and understand what the myths are saying and how you can apply them to your life, it's a much more useful and
yes,
maybe effective way of looking at the yes text that you can integrate into your life, as opposed to saying, well, these people lived back then and they died and there's a guy in the sky looking down on me. It's like, no, this, the way he describes it, it sort of puts the power in your own hands to use the myth to enrich your own life, or not necessarily that, but to be more integrated, you know.
And what's his view on the shape of the earth?
That never comes up.
I don't think that ever came up. But
that's my litmus test now.
Yeah, but does the shape of the earth change your life in any way? Do you just go about your business every day regardless?
No, it has definitely changed my way of life.
Hmm. How so?
So, for example, the reason that I thought the Bible was nonsense was because...
No, we're talking about flat earth. Don't get...
Yeah, so...
Don't get...
Yeah, but it all leads to the same thing. The reason I thought the Bible was nonsense is because I believed in space and, you know, the zillions of planets. And I think... that's really where...
So it brought you back down to spirituality.
Yes,
yeah,
so from
the Bible
there.
Is, so which the Bible is, it's spiritual, but not in the literal context of the Bible, because it's mythology.
Well, my spirituality is quite limited to praying.
Okay, that's understood. I think I understand that. But if you would listen to Joseph Campbell, maybe you would realize that you should read the Bible in a deeper context, which would also reward you in a deeper way spiritually.
Sure, I'm happy to listen to it. I've got no... If it's interesting...
And another question I have for you, Frank, is that, you know, I might consider the possibility that someone, a Joseph Campbell or anyone, might have devoted a fair amount of time to researching mythology and drawing conclusions, and just may never have considered the shape of the earth at all. It's not part of something he dwells upon at all, and may have no opinion on it, or just may have accepted what he's been told, and but that wouldn't invalidate everything he's saying, I don't think.
I just wonder often if many churchmen create a kind of alternative narrative for the Bible simply on the basis that the idea that the world is covered by a dome is too much for them. And so
yeah,
they end up going off on
like
a different...
A lizard in a terrarium or something, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I can see that.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm not denying. I'm open to possibly a dome, but I also, in the mythology and everything else, if you read the Bible in the way that I do, the dome is me. It's my skull. It's my mind.
Homer Simpson says, it works on so many levels, Linda.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, you can see your eye, right? Is a dome. And
well, there are many people that conjecture
that's not pure evidence,
an eye.
Right, but that's not pure evidence that there's a dome in the sky. It's not 100% proof just because we can see it in our lives.
So I've really come to that point. Yeah. I know I've had this discussion with you many times. I've come to that point by deduction only. So because we really only have two stories, you're required to choose between one or the other. And given that it's...
No, you're not required. You can stay in the middle and say, I have no opinion. You don't have to choose. And that's kind of where I am. I don't have to choose. Yep.
Okay, so you're choosing not to choose. That's fine. But
according to Geddy Lee, you've still made a choice.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, yeah, there's that. Jeez.
You're either non-binary or you're not.
You know, there's 10 kinds of people in this world, Frank.
I know, but all the programming...
Those who understand binary and those who don't.
Yeah, but all the programming and everything else has taught us that we can't be in the middle of anything. We have to choose a side. And I disagree with that. I think we can walk the middle. Honestly, I think we can.
Yeah, and you'll either be right or wrong.
And I'll either be right or wrong. But so far, it's working out, me walking the middle, because I've chose to... There again, I choose. But, I mean, it's my choice, right? We all have to choose how we live or whatever. But I'm not judging people as much. I'm trying to be the shaman I was born to be, I guess. If that makes sense. Not that I believe in shamanism or anything like that. I'm just saying,
you know,
to look at both sides at all times in your
being non-judgmental
life,
is very biblical as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Yep.
I think I may have been accused of having a lack of discernment due to my commitment to staying.
Well, I'm not sure that's a commandment. Discernment is not one of the commandments, I don't think. So you're okay there.
Well, I'm not. I was just saying it's, you know, people, not that I'm picking on anybody, but we are, Linda's correct, and they want us to pick a side, red, blue, Coke, Pepsi, you know, flat, round, whatever the case may be. You have to
They're
be
going
on
to put us on that
other.
Black cube. One way or the other, and you have to pick a side of that black cube, and I choose to stay out of the black cube. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yes.
And
religion itself is a black cube, in my opinion. So that's why I try to read
the
Bible.
About religion.
Oh, how about Joseph Campbell saying that he looked all through the Bible and he couldn't find religion anywhere?
I'm with Joseph Campbell on that.
Yes. There's not religion. There's not
There was
religion
no religion in the Bible.
Nope.
You know, as far as the Bible's concerned, you should throw away all your crosses and all your any idolatry at all. Just get rid of it all.
And it is very interesting that the, you know, the militant atheists, when they think of a Bible, probably they think of churches and religion. It's
yes.
like all the same thing
yeah.
to them, and a lot of people, I'm sure, not just yeah. them.
And that is the ultimate deception, as far as I'm concerned. Is there is no as you would say, Joseph Campbell says, and I'm already love him now for that reason. There's no connection between the Bible and religion.
No, and it's a literary whatever.
Well, I argue it's a model.
But
I argue that it's a model about how the world works.
You know the thing.
Yeah, but it could be a model. But it has so many layers to it that if you break down the layers, you can find the power structure. You can find science. You can find psychology. You can find
yes.
all the layers of what they've taken and spread out from that biblical text and put into one genre of teaching and distorted it upside down.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. I mean, that's what I found. So, but the ultimate top layer of the Bible, in my opinion, is God, the power structure. God is the power structure.
Yes.
And they've created everything that's written in the Bible and put it onto our lives.
But I think Bible, like with a lot of other things that they use, and, you know, I'm referencing Jacques Ellul, the propaganda. He says that the propagandists themselves will prefer to use truth whenever possible. And I think there's probably a lot of truth.
Yes, you know, there's a lot of reality,
physical truth in the Bible that they have overlaid their system on top of.
Yes.
And if you know how to look for it, you can figure that stuff out.
I agree with that.
Yep.
And in particular,
like I said, I've been studying it and trying to uncover all the layers to it. And I have gotten down to the layer of me. And there's a lot of truth in that, because all the concepts of, you know, all the stories of Moses, like Moses, you know, bringing down the law. We bring down the law upon ourselves, right? We decide how we want to live. And if we break our laws, we're guilty. You know, we're guilty in our own minds. And we punish ourselves, for God's sake, you know? And this is a cycle that we do throughout our whole lives. We have
Except that the Bible actually now says that you have been redeemed from all that.
Yeah, but we redeem ourselves at that level, at our personal level of the layer of the Bible. We redeem ourselves. We forgive ourselves. We repent and we forgive ourselves. Because if we don't forgive ourselves for all the guilt that we put upon ourselves for doing something we thought was wrong or whatever, then we can't help anybody else. We're living in guilt. We're living in sin, according to that. And that's the way I read that. And so it's very helpful in figuring out who you really are as a person to actually uncover those layers.
I agree.
So
the other, I mean, also, I think as a way of life, the Ten Commandments are fairly, you know, they're not very onerous, are they?
No, but if you uncover the layer of the Bible that's personal to you, like if you read Genesis as your birth, right? If you just read God is you and it's your birth, if you just read the whole Bible like that, and everything, every story is about you, right? Then you will come to the conclusion that you haven't sinned. You forgive yourself. And
I haven't come to that conclusion.
Right.
I've come to the conclusion that we are forever imperfect.
Yeah, but I don't see that simply because
I don't think we are intended to live as if good and evil are a thing. Good and evil exists.
That doesn't make us perfect, though. The perfection
is the enemy of the good. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, and I use that quite often. Mm-hmm. The perfect is the enemy of the good.
Yeah, I'm with you on the good and evil thing. I'm with you on that. I think there is neither. It just is what it is.
I think that good and evil exist. I have no doubt about that.
Definitions of evil. You can't find a definition that makes sense in the dictionary that I've been able to see. They're all
certain. the only definition that I know is that evil is to fight, you know, is to deny God, to fight God.
Yeah, but if you're reading that on a personal level, you're denying yourself. So that would be evil upon yourself. And that makes perfect sense. But in the power structure level, if you're reading that layer, then if you deny God the power structure, then yes, that is evil to them. And here we are. They're bringing down the COVID wrath on us and all the other shit that they do to us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the way I kind of look at the reading of the Bible. There's so many layers to it. And if you get down on the personal level, there's so much knowledge in what you can learn about yourself.
I think Frank might be very interested in Joseph Campbell's interpretation of
I think he would be.
The resurrection, which I found very helpful and useful. And he describes, you know, of course, Mary is, you know, that Jesus is the offspring of spirit and the material. And so the resurrection is a spiritual birth, which would be your personal resurrection, would be being born into the spirit and leaving behind the trappings of the material. And not just the material, but the, I call it the narrative, or the, you know, the power structure narrative. I can leave that behind and connect with reality, or what we might call God, or however you want to describe it. You know, the nature of bigger things.
Right. To me, it's a creator, if that's what you want to call it, but the creator doesn't ask you to worship him or her or both, or there could be 10 of them.
He asks you to love him.
Yeah, but we do love our creator regardless, right?
Apparently not everyone does.
No, I'm not saying the creator of all. I'm saying that we appreciate being born. We appreciate being in this life. Well, I don't think
that's true. But I don't think everybody appreciates it.
That's a
maybe not
acquired situation, I think, speaking for myself.
Yeah, maybe not. But I mean, everybody doesn't have to at this point, because everybody's on their individual journey to find themselves. And we can only maybe help them along, but we can't do it for them. We can't take that journey with them, because we're on our individual journey at the same time. We can hold their hand maybe once in a while, but we can't take their journey for them. That's individual within their own mind. And we can't go there. Right. And I think that's what the Bible explains, that it's an individual journey for each and every one of us. We don't have to group think. We don't have to do any of that stuff.
Well, I also like the practical stuff, simply like, you know, explaining that we can't fly over the South Pole.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Prasian. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Blast from the past.
Really? Haven't heard that voice for a while.
Richard. Richard.
Yeah.
He was a guy that was a very heavy-handed moderator.
I haven't heard from him in a while. We were communicating a little while back. I hope he's taking care of himself.
Yeah, me too. Because I don't think he was.
He seemed to be having kind of a rough go of it at one time. It's been a while since I've connected, so I'm hoping for the best for him, I guess.
Yeah, him and Jan Erik.
Oh, is Jan Erik not well?
Oh no, well, I don't know that. I just think he's taken a big break from.
Yeah, we haven't heard
all from him of. In a long time. Yeah, haven't heard from him in a long time.
Well, he probably just got sick of it, didn't he?
He was on his.
Once
doomsday.
You've got what. Say
I mean,
it again.
If he realized he was on his doomsday scenarios, there for a while.
Oh, was
the
he?
World. Yeah,
Well, we weren't connecting here for the most part, and the other channel where we were connecting was a much more amicable than this tends to be at times.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I just assumed he, you know, it had run.
But he could be married by now. Who knows? I'm hoping that I can be happy for him because I always liked John Eric.
He got a handle on this stuff very early.
Yeah.
I was late to the party as far as figuring out the nature of how things work here.
Same here.
I really sort of envy, in a way, or it's not really the exact word, but the young people that come to this channel and they have, you know, so much more opportunity to maybe carve their own path without the burden of all the stuff that I was subjected to the whole life, belief, whatnot.
What was the most useless belief that you've had, do you think?
I'm reminded of Chris Kendall on one of his shows. He said something about not having any tolerance for people with sacred cows because we're just skewering them and slicing them up and barbecuing them in this channel. And that's kind of the way, like, all of my, anything that I probably had accepted is true, I'm sort of taking it out for a spin, seeing if it holds water. And so many things that I used to believe, I've found they don't. So, yeah, I don't know if I can boil it down to one, you know?
Well, to me, AIDS was bad and nuclear weapons terrible.
Right. Hell was a big one for me.
Oh, I'm okay with hell because hell's now just a rest place where you rest.
That's not what I was told when I was young and impressionable.
Right. You were given a lot of hell. What was your
terrifying
hell? Okay.
Oh, fire and brimstone. You'll be begging for a single drop of water for eternity and it'll be denied.
Okay.
And, you know, one little slip up, and if you don't accept the Savior into your heart, whatever that looks like, and how do you know if you're doing it right? And I'm not really sure. It's kind of a far-fetched story.
Yeah,
I want to believe, but I don't know if I'm believing hard enough.
Yeah.
And think the wrong thought, and you might get struck by lightning, because that's God's wrath.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Interesting, because obviously the Bible
is a hormonally driven teenager watching a cheerleader on the football field, and I could end up in hell. Yeah, it's I didn't enjoy any of that.
Yeah, but I wonder why. I see, again, it was interesting that all of those situations we were put in as young men and women. They're all designed really to get you to break the Ten Commandments, aren't they? Because clearly it does make a lot of sense for the more traditional forms of relationships between men and women to have stayed in place. I mean, I don't think anyone can argue that the current relationships in the Western world between men and women are working very well.
And it might could be argued that the destruction of the traditional idea of relationships between men and women and the family could have led us to the trans revolution.
Yeah. So, I think that's a fairly easy argument to make. So they've been
destroying the family from day one, I think.
And when was day one from that destruction? I'm going to say 1850. Who's day
one? It has to be around there, in my opinion, because I mean, even if you go back in your own family tree, that's about how far you get.
That's exactly how far you get.
That's how
that
far
is
you
completely,
get.
And I have met a lot of people that's as far as they get. Very interesting.
Any of that disconnection from our heredity has to do with possibly being forced off land, hereditary land and whatnot, losing connection
yes.
to your land and birthright, you lose connection to your history?
Yes. That's exactly what I think it's about.
Yeah, but they forced us out of nature. Well, they didn't force us. They comforted us out of nature.
Yeah, you were seduced.
yes, we were seduced out of nature, which is where all the connections begin, in the garden. And like I said, the Bible tells you a lot about this.
Yep.
It's your own personal garden and your own family and your connections to them and everything else. And yes, they've seduced us out of that world.
Mm-hmm.
By all their contradictions, all their bullshit, everything that they have ever done to divide families, abortions, I mean, you name it. I mean, if we actually made a list, it would be immense of how they destroyed families.
Yep.
Making women want to go to work instead of staying home and slave driving for their man, even though that was the normal thing, you know. You stay home, you take care of the kids, you cook supper. No big deal. The man goes out in the fields, works. He's doing all the hard physical labor, and the wife's raising the kids and doing the mental labor. Right?
Yep.
No big deal. That's how it was.
I haven't looked into her in a long time, but there's a lady who has a channel called Girl Writes What. And she has done a lot of YouTube stuff for a long time. And this representation of the actual amount of power that women in households had in the past and the way things were structured. And, it's a far cry from the perception we have about the bad old days when women were subject to the patriarchy and all that. And it's very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think certainly in my grandparents' time, it was a matriarchy, without a doubt.
I think women...
Certainly all of the finances were controlled by my grandmother, and I've heard that that's true of a lot of families.
Yes, I agree with that, except my grandmother couldn't control the finances because she was blind.
Right.
So the man handled them not appropriately.
Right. Okay.
So,
well, you know, I want to say, if you go back a little ways in history, that might have been a sort of a comedy trope that the men were too irresponsible to handle the finances properly, and it was up to the women to make sure that the bills were paid. And you know,
it was all about running a household, and that was the woman's job.
Yes, the man did all the physical labor, plowed the fields, planted, you know, did all the physical labor, and the woman did all the cooking, cleaning, raising the kids. It was a trade-off, which worked well. It worked well. Nothing wrong
with
it.
And really, is there a job more important than raising children? Of course there isn't.
No.
It's the most important job.
Yeah, that should be glorified to the mountains instead of dismissed the way it has been.
Well, it kind of was in Egyptian. It was... It kind of was in Egyptian theology or whatever.
Yep.
They brought up the women, although they didn't bring them up. I mean, they didn't portray them as raising the kids and cooking and cleaning and doing all that stuff. They put them up on a higher level. But still, I think it's all mythology, which means the same thing. And that's why women were admired.
Yeah.
And now we've substituted sexualization for admiration. That's not much of a trade-off there.
No, it's not. And it's... And it, yeah, I mean, so as I said, I think the way of life prescribed in the Bible seems. Let's take the Joseph Campbell view, which I assume is that it's a myth. It's a myth that has proven to be a very effective way to live, you know, based on experience, a very practical. And,
yeah, but not the literal
satisfying
version.
Way to live.
Yeah, not the literal version, though. Because the Ten Commandments, okay, if you get down on the personal level, I just wanted to bring this up. Mm-hmm. Because thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill your soul. You know what I mean? It's like you can kill yourself in lots of many ways, not physically, but mentally. So all those are personal, all those Ten Commandments are personal to you. They're not literal, like thou shalt not kill somebody on the street or whatever. It's all about you. And if you actually look at the Ten Commandments on that personal level, they all apply to you.
Well, maybe, but I also think it would be great to live in a society where killing was just not a thing.
Yeah, but what are you talking about killing, man or animal?
Well, this case, it's talking about killing man, your fellow man.
Yeah,
your
but
neighbor.
It doesn't specifically say that, and that's why I say what I say, because mm-hmm. it has to be a myth, because you have to eat. You have to kill something to eat. You have to.
Yes. I've always taken it as thou shalt not kill your fellow man.
Yeah, but you're assuming that's what it means.
It's true. I am assuming that.
And
Lady and gentlemen, I have to sign off now. It's been a wonderful chat as always. And I'll pop in probably tomorrow morning if I'm up early and just see what's happening. Hope for the best.
Okay.
And I want to wish the two of you a fabulously wonderful evening.
You too, Farce. Wonderful chat. Yep.
I should disappear also. Yeah, always great to catch up with you, Farce. Thank you. How are you enjoying the new
he's gone. Yeah, we should discuss this more someday.
Yeah, just start another
Yeah, we should do the
thing.
Linda.
A thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we should do a thing sometime.
Linda holds forth.
The Bible Hour with Frank and Linda.
These audio always end up being 90 million years. All right, thanks, Linda. Thanks for the chat. Take care.
All right. See you, Frank. Bye.